talked about.
You gotta put it in
If you're horny, let's do it. Ride it, my pony. My saddle's waiting. Come and jump on it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
When you hear the sound of thunder, don't you get too scared. Just grab your thunder buddy and say these magic words. You thunder, you can
Man, them jokers was big, size of a quarter doggone. He said, kapuya, kapuya. And your boy that hell just came in. I looked at my, opened my door, and I looked out my door and started hitting me in my head. I took off running, ran to the restroom, and then I called my mama to see what she all right.
And now,
Kevin and Bean.
Yes.
F-U.
Our feature presentation.
All right. It's a good way to start.
Right?
A little positive energy for you.
I like it. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday. It is November 19th.
We get a lot of feedback from our listeners, and but that sums it up in the fewest number of words. Kind of feedback that we get.
Well, here's the thing. Most people don't give feedback when they're happy.
No.
That's right.
And, of course, I'm assuming anyone is happy. But when you're upset, those are the people that you really hear from a lot. So
I'm actually glad you said that, because I think that's something that I could keep in mind more often, because you really can get an untrue read on the public if you only look at internet comments, for instance.
That's true.
Very rarely is somebody going to sit down and go, well done, outstanding, good work. Just, I don't know. And what's that about? Why is that not in human nature?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why you take the extra step of complaining if you're unhappy, but you don't take that extra step if you're happy. I don't.
Yeah. What do you think that's about, the girl?
You know, I don't know, but I do know that when I give someone a compliment or I say, hey, great job, it then turns on you and you feel better. So maybe we should all try that. Kevin, you're doing great today.
Thanks.
Thanks,
Allie.
It doesn't work if you lie.
No, I'm not lying.
Hey,
he hasn't messed up once.
Hey, wait.
But if it's an obvious sarcastic, oh, great job, Kevin, then
but
clearly
she said
that's
today.
Not
gonna,
today.
She qualified it
I
by
did.
Saying today, and I've made no mistakes yet.
And Bean, you look great.
Says the woman who can't see me. Hey, Rodney, inappropriate. All right, we have a big program for you today, but I want to start actually with two little stories. And I think this is a phone topic waiting to be had, and I don't think we've ever done this before, is things you saw on a surveillance video camera.
Ooh.
Again, the category is things you saw on a surveillance video camera.
Sex.
And I have two stories in the news. The first one comes out of West Philadelphia, a place called Superior Automotive. This is an automobile lot where they store a large variety of vehicles. They got cars for sale, cars waiting for repairs, cars that have been towed in. And somebody went on an arson spree and burned up 11 cars in the parking lot, doing about $100,000 worth of damage. This just happened this week. There's no evidence of any motive in the case. The owner of the lot has not reported any recent disputes with the customers. So they took a look at the surveillance video, and they see the guy on camera. He's a brown complexion male, medium build, possibly left-handed, wearing a pair of blue jeans and a gray hoodie. The reason this story is on the national news is as he left the parking lot, it was noticed that he had set his right arm on fire.
Oh, what?
Thank God he's left-handed.
His arm was on fire as he left the parking lot after setting all these cars on fire. So they're looking for him. They could see how serious it was, and they have been checking the hospitals to see if anyone had come in as a burn victim or something like that. Police say it is possible the man may have treated his wounds himself, but his injuries are likely serious and would be difficult to hide. Obviously, somebody out there knows somebody who has a pretty substantial burn on that arm, and they're asking for the help from the public to find him. So you're watching the video, which is great. You know, if you're the police, you're the car dealership, you're trying to narrow down the suspect and get an idea, and then you realize this dude's on fire when he left.
Can't see his face, but his right arm sure is lit up.
Right? Isn't that? I mean, what a surprise that must have been when you are watching that on the on the camera, right? All right, so that's thing one. Here's thing two, and another reason why I think the surveillance camera is a good phone tally. This is Laurel, Maryland, very near where I grew up. There is a teenager under arrest after breaking into a home. The Anne Arundel County Police Department there began investigating a residential burglary on Old Annapolis Road. The victim in this case had installed an interior camera system in their home to capture, you know, burglaries. That's the reason why it's there. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, great idea. Police say the video showed the suspect entering the house, eating food that belonged to the homeowner, and then masturbating into the refrigerator.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Who thinks that way?
That's not yogurt.
Well, the suspect then fled the home after stealing money, has been captured and confessed to his involvement in the crime. Yes, who thinks that way? Like how? Hey, I'm in this dude's house,
right?
And I'm eating food out of the fridge.
And I'm really
and I'm stealing some money.
I feel like
stuff. I got to go back to the fridge, and I mean, why? And why in the fridge?
Yeah, why not the couch or the bed or
we don't
bedroom?
Need to name all the places that he could. Anything, I think we get it.
Anything other than the fridge?
But I think the reason we ask, Ellie, is this? I mean, is this part of the fetish or something? I mean, is there a specific turn on in the fridge, or did he have some sort of thing where he felt like he was going to show these people, he's going to get back at them, or did he think, hey, this would be really funny if they discover this? I mean, like, what's going through the kid's mind?
Call us now if you've ever broken into a house and done that in their fridge. 1-800.
Please don't call.
Is that what we're saying?
I don't, that's not what we're saying at all. Okay. So anyway, there's two stories for you of surveillance cameras that maybe surprise you when you watch the video back.
That's pretty awesome.
Isn't that something?
All right. How you doing, Chip? You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Chip just came running, scurrying in here.
Are we all right? Are we on the air? Hello?
Yeah, we're on the air. It's good. Just checking with Chip because she was late. The car doesn't work. Right. A little frazzled. Just checking with her.
All right.
All good.
I'm
just standing here.
Yeah, she's not real frazzled. She's doing all right.
You want to take back your great job, Kevin?
No, I do not. No, does Allie want to take it back?
Yeah.
No, she doesn't. She would not like you. Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
You're not getting the job done in your job. And you're getting paid $1 million to do it. And it's not working.
Bo Bachman will join us today. Talking about the LA Auto Show. We have a brand new internet roundup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Beer Mug went out the day. When did we talk about bees and the beehives and Ian Ziering and all that?
Last week. Maybe last week, week before, maybe. Yeah, they were doing some sort of, he and his wife were doing some sort of a protest at Ace Hardware, if I remember, in the Valley. They were trying to get them to stop selling pesticides that are harmful to the bees. Apparently, they're very avid beekeepers.
Right, and we sent Beer Mug down there with a microphone. He did a bunch of interviews, and they've just sort of been in the system. Just like, oh, yeah, somebody should go through those. Oh, you know what? Somebody should listen to that. Maybe there's something good there. There's something good there.
Magic.
Oh, great.
Mugs is always magic.
Yeah.
And his knowledge of bees, which he's very, very happy to share with people.
Oh, no.
Is minimal. Well, his knowledge is minimal, but his ability to share with people is maximum. Maximal.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. He tells people about bees, basically, is what's happening. And it's awesome. And we have highlights for you today. We also have a Las Vegas trip, like we've been doing all week. We have Jim Rome on sports. We have Alex Borstein in the studio from, of course, Family Guy and Getting On. And we have Dr. Drew on the program and Rainn Wilson on the program.
Wow.
So how about all that?
A lot.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Yes. Hey, you don't got to bring all that siren and shit. Come like quiet and shit.
Hello.
Hello.
It's sweet, isn't it? Isn't that beautiful?
Sure is. Okay. Sure the hell is. Victor Fuentes, we still love you. We're still looking for you, buddy. Hey, Thursday morning on the world famous K-Rock. How brilliantly did Ralph play this trip to Vegas?
Real well.
Remember, yesterday he comes in and he goes, yeah, I was joking about calling in sick today, but then when I woke up sick this morning, I realized I couldn't call in sick because I'd already said yesterday that I was going to. So that, we didn't even realize that that was the setup for today.
Brilliant.
Because yesterday he made it clear that he wouldn't do that. So then today we have to believe him, or so he thinks. Brilliant.
Hey, or he's sick.
What? Seems...
I'm saying that is certainly one of the options that we should consider.
Likely. I feel like we've been played, but it was so masterfully done that
oh,
I
Oh, so you
to
respect the
yeah,
game anyway.
All right.
I do respect the game. All I right. think so, yeah. Anyway, so if we're off, here's Allie. Time for our first look at the showbiz beat. What is going on?
Can I just say I loved NyQuil Ralph yesterday?
NyQuil Ralph was pretty good.
That was excellent.
Very pleasant.
Yeah.
Why can't he do that again today?
He's thinking, well, said his head hurt a lot when he woke up, so that seems bad.
Plus, what's the point? Who's he going to impress in Las Vegas?
That's a good point. All right.
Sick as Bean assumes everybody who calls in sick goes to Vegas. Back to you.
Thanks, Kevin. Very sad news for fans of Joel McHale's The Soup. After 22 seasons, E! Entertainment is ending it. That's...
Wop, wop, wop.
It's a bummer.
That's a hell of a run, by the way.
Right?
Great show.
Yeah, 22 seasons. Of course, Greg Kinnear was the original host. He hosted 91 and 95. And then John Henson, Hal Sparks, Aisha Tyler, and then our friend Joel. Hmm. Who's going to make fun of everyone? All the horrible
the
shows that are out there.
The internet.
But with such panache.
Yeah. No, Joel was great at that job, and that show was never less than excellent. So yeah. I'm bummed out.
I am too. At least he has like 8 other jobs, so
that's true.
I don't feel yeah. as sad.
Joel stays busy.
Yeah,
busy.
Absolutely. Chelsea Handler news. Not only does she have her show on Netflix that's debuting middle of the year, but it was just announced that she has another show in the works that will debut in January. It's a 4-part documentary series called Chelsea Does. It's going to be on Netflix as well. And each documentary will be about various things ranging from marriage to drugs and from racism to Silicon Valley.
So... So Chelsea does what? She's doing people's jobs?
I don't know. Is she going to be racist in one, do drugs in one, get married in one? It doesn't explain, but it's concerning.
Hmm.
But yeah, 4-part documentary series.
And where's that at? What channel is that on?
That's on Netflix as well.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
It's easy to avoid things on Netflix. You don't accidentally come across them. You just don't click on them.
Agreed.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Real good point. Good news for bronies.
Good news for bronies.
Yeah,
okay.
They need some good news. You know who bronies are, right? The fans of My Little Pony.
Of course.
They have big meetups.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of weird stuff goes down. But the first ever My Little Pony movie set to premiere November 3rd, 2017, with Broadway star Kristen Chenoweth debuting the brand new character, which we don't know what it's going to be. But the film centers on Twilight Sparkle, Applejack, Rainbow Dash, Pinkie Pie, and Fluttershy.
Well, there's no surprise there. Those
I
are
know.
The obvious choices.
Well, those are the huge
What's your favorite
ones?
Being out of those?
Applejacks.
Really?
Yeah.
What about Applejack do you like the most?
Why do we have to wait 2+ years?
Yeah, I was going to say November 2017.
17. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Why Applejacks, Bean?
Yeah, what about Applejacks
More
really
important.
Gets you going?
Applejacks is just adorable.
What about Applejacks in particular?
That little green suit that makes her look like an elf.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that real?
Yes, that's real.
I think, unfortunately, we have to assume that it is.
Oh, it's very concerning.
Yeah.
Something
I don't know who any of those people are.
No. Right. No. I thought for sure you'd like Pinkie Pie, but that's just me. Mm-hmm. We now know one of the women who will be donning that red one-piece bathing suit for the reboot of Baywatch. What?
That was close.
Who do you think it's going to be? Who would look amazing in a bathing suit running in slow motion down the beach?
Ariana Grande?
Nope. But I bet she would.
Bean,
any guesses?
Boy, that's hard to narrow down.
I think I know the answer to this one, so I must recuse myself.
Okay. I'll give you a hint, Kevin.
Yes.
She was on True Detective and most recently in San Andreas.
Yeah, I don't.
Daddario. Alexandra Daddario.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Hey,
what's with the bell?
What happened to the bell?
Got some paperwork stuck up in there.
Is that what you call it?
It's all good now. And my penis.
All right. Alexandra will be... Alexandra, wow, this is a rough one.
No,
she's
like
going to be playing Summer in the film, who was originally played by Nicole Eggert. So okay. We don't
right.
know...
I'm in.
Yeah. We don't know who's going to be... Pam Anderson. Cause wouldn't you assume there'd be a Pam Anderson?
Oh, sure. I would think so, sure.
Is The Rock playing the Hasselhoff character?
Oh, we've got The Rock as well as Zac Efron in this movie. I mean, it's got everything. Who's with me?
Except for Applejacks. Doesn't have Applejacks.
Well, not yet.
You're going to have to wait until November.
Maybe, well,
2017.
Maybe that's why, because Applejacks is in this.
Oh,
Kevin.
Wow.
Holy detective work.
Wrong.
All of these stars were born on today, November the 19th. Larry King.
Larry King.
Larry King.
How old do you think Larry is?
108.
I would say 86.
Yes. No, 82.
82.
Allison Janney is 56. Actress Meg Ryan is 54. Jodie Foster is 53. Adam Driver, 32. How exciting. Kylo Ren. And rapper Tyga is 26. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale for this year's Acoustic Christmas shows happens tomorrow at noon. Tickets for both nights are going on sale through Ticketmaster.com. You can get all the details at K-Rock.com. If you want to be part of that weekend that is going to feature 22 excellent K-Rock artists, all performing spanning two nights, the 12th and 13th of December at the Forum. Again, tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. All the details at K-Rock.com. Hope to see you there.
You do need the password, so make sure that you sign up. All right. Mugs splains bees.
Bees! Woo! Well, that's not a complicated topic.
Bean, recap for people how this all came up.
I think it came up as simply as Ralph did a story in the Showbiz Beat mentioning that Ian Ziering from Sharknado and Beverly Hills 90210 back in the day was going to be making an appearance at a hardware store the next day in the Valley protesting the use of pesticides that he and his wife were very active beekeepers think is killing off the bees, helping contributing to killing off the bees, which has become a major problem in America, particularly in California where so much of the nation's food is made. You can't make most foods without bee pollination. So we all thought it was hilarious that this is what Ian was doing with his time. So we talked to him on the air about the protest that morning, and then we sent Mugs down there. I think it started right around 10 o'clock that day to get some interviews with Ian, his wife Erin, and also the people who might have shown up to join the protest.
So, Mugs, how many people were down there when you went, when you got down there?
I'd say 8 or 9 people.
8 or 9?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. That's not a big turnout.
No.
No. But Muggs interviews Erin and Ian, which I think is great. Well, he starts interviewing Ian and his wife Erin, but Erin wasn't there at the time.
Okay.
So he tried a couple of different times to get things started.
I am here with Ian and his lovely wife Erin Ziering, and they're here. I am here with Ian Ziering and his lovely wife Erin. It's all right. She'll come over later.
You want to go again?
Yeah.
That's Ian. That's Ian asking him if he wants to go again.
Want another run at that?
Just making sure.
What was Erin doing at the time you started the interview with her?
She was preoccupied with a real news outlet.
Why did you start the interview if she wasn't standing in front of you?
Well, because I thought she was going to come. I thought she was finishing up with that news outlet as I was starting. And no, she wasn't.
And you couldn't wait 30 seconds for her to troll over to where you were?
It looked like she was coming over to me, and then she got pulled back.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
But at least
she... By the way, she's ridiculously hot, right?
Ridiculously hot.
Yeah.
Good for Ian.
Yeah.
So she's
maybe
finally...
that wasn't the point.
Nope. Stick to the bees, Bean.
So she finally comes over, and now Muggs is talking to the happy couple. I'm sorry, talking at... The happy couple.
Addressing not only a local problem, but a national problem.
Global problem.
Global problem. The vanishing of our world's honeybees. And we are at the Ace Hardware here in Studio City. And I noticed you guys walked into the store earlier. Not too bad of a confrontation with the manager, but he was, I guess he ended up being helpful in what you're doing is spreading awareness of the pesticides that are killing the honeybees.
Right.
Now,
is that a question, first of all? And you were summarizing, like, the run-in that they had with the manager?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you were telling Ian what he'd just done.
Right, I had to make it elaborate for our listeners.
I see.
Paint a picture, really.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, so Muggs is painting a picture, and I want you to hear Ian's participation before Muggs goes on, because Muggs loves Muggs. And Muggs does not really want answers. Muggs wants to talk.
What you're doing is spreading awareness of the pesticides that are killing the honeybees.
Right.
Now, I think the common misconception about bees in general is that they're all dangerous and they're going to sting you and you're allergic and you're going to die. But honeybees are...
Now, forgive me for just butting in here, but he's the guy down there talking about honeybees.
Yeah, right. You're not telling him anything new. He's the expert.
Why are you telling him the thing about honeybees? Is this a passion of yours? Do you?
I wanted to show him that I knew a little bit about the bees.
Okay.
But is that what the point of the interview is? Is for us to see how much you know about bees? Or is it to talk to the guy who's organized the protest, who's a beekeeper, to tell us what he knows about bees?
I suppose it's the latter.
You're doing good work.
Bees in general is that they're all dangerous and they're going to sting you and you're allergic and you're going to die. But honeybees are innately harmless, right?
Right.
I've noticed myself, I was telling Aaron earlier that...
So far, we've gotten two words out of the happy couple.
Right.
Right and right. And then Muggs takes the microphone back and just keep... This is a filibuster. That's what's happening right now. Muggs is doing a one-man show, and they're just standing there looking at him trying to figure it out.
In this area, when I was a kid and during the summertime, when spring is blooming, you'd see a lot of honeybees. But now it's real. Like, I don't see that many out there. And it's kind of concerning, especially since they're a big part of our ecosystem now.
Okay, I just want to point out.
Oh, my wow. God.
I just want to point out we're a minute 15 in.
Okay.
And we've gotten you want to try that again? And then right and right.
You're right, Kevin. It's a filibuster. He's trying to wear Ian down, so Ian hates bees at the end of it.
It's a filibuster.
Get out. Oh, jeez.
That wasn't bad, Bugs. I mean, really, let's be honest. All right, let's continue.
Can you get the EPA involved, maybe? Is that...
The EPA is involved. So, again, awareness is growing. Change is happening. Unfortunately, it just happens slowly.
Where can people go to get information and be, turn the ignorance around to honeybees?
All right.
Well said.
Sorry. Yep. Nailed it.
You want another run at that question?
Turn the ignorance around to honeybees.
They can visit the Friends of the Earth organization.
And then I saw somewhere real quick, there was a grid.
Is this unbelievable?
Wow.
Is it unbelievable?
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
When I was a kid, I used to be scared of bees.
They didn't even have to be there. Muggs could have taped this interview in the parking lot of K-Rock without them.
Turn the ignorance around to honeybees.
They can visit the Friends of the Earth organization.
And I saw somewhere real quick, okay. There was a grid that said without honeybees, we wouldn't have a lot of items like when it comes to produce, and a lot.
Two-thirds of the things that you put into your mouth are because of a honeybee population.
Yeah. Well, people, if you like your honey, do something about it.
Right. That's the call to action right there.
Yeah!
If you like your honey, do something about it.
But you guys have to admit, you're now more well-informed about the bee situation.
I mean, here's the thing that I would like to focus on, because then Muggs goes on and talks to other people about bees. People...
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People who really aren't there for the bees.
Oh,
and,
no.
And really don't know much about the bees.
Oh.
But the two-thirds of the food that we eat is Muggs' question to every single one of them. And he tries to school them all. So he'll say, are you upset about the bees? And they'll go, no. And he'll go, well, did you know 2/3 of the food they eat, you wouldn't have if it wasn't for bees.
So they were just down there to see the guy from Sharknado.
Probably. Or to,
that's
or,
why they came
or
down.
To buy something at the shop.
Right, get a
right,
hammer.
They just been going to the hardware store,
hammer,
right.
Some nails. And Muggs is asking them about the bees and then trying to shame them into caring about the bees. Oh. It's spectacular. All right, we need to take a break.
Okay.
Can we keep the... All right, we have... Because I think he does like 4 more interviews with people. All of them humor him, and he pretty much schools them.
Oh, I'm in.
That's what I do.
I'm in.
So Muggs Explains Bees, part 2 next.
Hey, if you're just joining us, we are halfway through Beer Mug Explains Bees. He went down to a anti-pesticide protest at a hardware store in the Valley a couple weeks ago with Ian Ziering from Sharknado and his lovely wife, Erin. And so far, we've really heard very little from them, but a lot from Muggs. And now you're telling me he's let the celebrities go, and now he's just walking around just assaulting customers in the hardware store?
Just walking up to people who really don't care about bees and asking them if they're upset that bees are dying. And he is stuck on this. Without bees, you wouldn't have two-thirds of the food you eat. Mm-hmm. You'll see as we go along that Muggs doesn't know any more than that, except for that number. Like, he doesn't know.
He doesn't know the actual foods?
No, God, no.
Oh.
No. He knows fruit in general. Just some fruit and honey. That's how he explains it. So he asks his first girl if she's upset about the bees dying.
Well, they're pretty important to our environment, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're responsible for about two-thirds of what we eat. So if they're gone, which is a result of all the pesticides that they put in all these pesticides, naturally. So do you like bees?
Yes.
That's right. They put pesticides in pesticides.
You then said
naturally.
Of course.
What word were you looking for?
Chemicals.
Chemicals.
Yes.
Chemicals.
Yes.
They put the pesticides.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Didn't happen, but that's the word I was looking for.
That was the best thing I've ever heard. Oh. And then when he just gave up and just said.
So do you like bees?
You like them?
I guess.
She doesn't care. Nobody cares. That's the thing.
No.
Look, everybody has their pet project or whatever. Uh-huh. And right. I talk about my charity a lot, and other people have their charities a lot. Some charities are harder to talk about than others. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad for people who love bees, like my friend Bean, who's going to be a beekeeper mm-hmm. one day.
I do love bees. And everything Ian is saying is true, by the way. And it really is a crisis that I'm glad he's putting on people's radar. But I don't know that Muggs is the guy to spread that word.
Well, that's the weird thing, is that once Muggs talked at Ian, he didn't listen, but he talked. Then he sort of took up the cause.
Yeah.
Like, now he's assaulting people and he's upset that they're not upset about the bees dying.
It's so weird. If I could make just a larger macro point here, I always wonder how these assholes that join ISIS get indoctrinated. They're Muggs. Basically, they hear something one time and they go, all right, I'll do that.
I'll do
and
it.
Then they just go out and they just start spreading the word. They just become that guy they just saw on TV talking for a minute.
Dare you?
All right, so here's Muggs talking to another guy who does not care. And this is the weird thing. Like, you have to assume people aren't going to care about bees if you want to tell them something about it. But Muggs has no interest in that. He's just going to shame them.
Excuse me, sir. Can I get your thoughts about all the honeybees dying off?
The honeybees dying off.
Yeah, they're all dying, and they're responsible for about two-thirds of what we eat, and they're a major part of our ecosystem.
Because global warming.
Could you elaborate?
It's getting hot.
How does Muggs bet his match? How does that guy bring in global warming? Elaborate. It's hot.
It's hot, right?
This guy straight out hates
new game show. By the way,
this guy straight out hates bees, and Muggs is not going to have it.
Excuse me, sir. What do you think of all the honeybees dying off?
What?
What do you think of all the honeybees dying off?
I think that's great. I can't stand bees.
You know they're responsible for about two-thirds of what we eat.
Two-thirds of the food. I don't care. My girlfriend's allergic to them. She hates them, and I hate them.
But
okay, now this is fascinating to me. Because he's not just saying, okay, great, or whatever, might I share. So mm-hmm. He's getting a little indignant.
Yeah, let me drop some knowledge on you. Change things.
Moses is upset with this.
Yeah. Honeybees are very harmless. It's a common misconception. You know, they're not wasps or yellow jackets. They're honeybees. They're friendly.
They're stupid is what they are. They're stupid. Stupid bees.
Thank you, sir.
Gotta give that round to the shoppers.
You gave up way too easily.
The amount of time from you're an idiot, I'm going to school you, to thank you, sir, is about four seconds.
Carry on.
The guy just had to say one more thing, and that's it.
I was done.
Yeah, with you, Muggs. All right, so one more interview with somebody who doesn't care about bees.
Excuse me, sir, what are your thoughts about the honeybee population dying off?
It's terrible.
How so?
I mean, any population dying off is just really saddening to me. And the honeybees they make good honey.
That is a good point. Did you know that they're all...
They make good honey. That's a good point. How is that a good point? Come on. So this guy clearly doesn't know anything about the issue, except for that they make
good honey.
That is a good point. Did you know that they're also responsible for about two-thirds of
two-thirds
what we
of
eat?
Two-thirds of the food we eat, mm-hmm. right.
As well as honey?
Well, I don't eat bees, so I didn't know that.
Not eating bees, but
he's upset.
What they produce, we eat.
Oh, gotcha. They just make honey, as far as I'm concerned. So you're neither here nor there. You don't care what happens to the bees. I mean, they do. They're a part of the ecosystem.
No, I didn't say that. I like the bees.
Oh.
I'm for the bees. You know, I'm all about them bees.
Can we hire that guy and fire Bud?
How dare you?
I just think you're terrific.
Alex Borstein on the program today from TV's Family Guy and HBO's Getting On. Also, Jim Rome talks sports. Actor Rainn Wilson on the program. Dr. Drew. A lot of good stuff and a free trip to Las Vegas coming up courtesy of the film Creed. That's all on the way on K-Rock. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup? Hit it, Steve.
Wake up. And watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah. Hey, producer Dave, King of Mexico. How are you, sir?
Yeah. Is that an answer to how are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good batch this week. We put the best viral videos of the week up at krock.com or kevinandbean.com, and a couple of them we won't play audio for you on the show, but I definitely want to point them out. For instance, the dog who's popping a giant water balloon is something you really need to see. I mean, it's like a 400-pound water balloon that you see pop in slow motion. It's pretty outstanding. Also, the trailer for the new Bill Murray Netflix Christmas special. Kevin, I know you're a big fan of that.
I love it. I can't figure out what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm all in.
You're all in.
Yeah.
And a great mashup video that somebody did with the song Uptown Funk. And I know we're all tired of Uptown Funk, but when you see how brilliantly edited this guy went back to the golden age of Hollywood and took movie dance scenes and edited them all together so it looks like, you know, Bing Crosby, Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly, people like that are dancing to Uptown Funk. And by the way, he mentions in the notes that none of it is sped up or slowed down. He managed to match all of that to the beat exactly.
It's lovely.
Homie has too much time.
Yeah,
66 has too much movies.
Time. Yeah.
66 movies, yeah.
My favorite is Shirley Temple, though.
Yeah, I've so done cute. Stuff like that before, and you have to slow it up or speed it up or slow it down. It's just not possible.
Wow, that's weird.
But let's get to some of the other clips.
But you're forgetting the best video that you're not mentioning, Bean.
Which one?
Cats and Cucumbers.
I'm so excited about this.
Cats and Cucumbers, come on. Don't put a cucumber behind your cat.
For people scaring the cats with cucumbers. Don't like it.
Although they're cats.
Here's what we have for you, though. Honest Trailers is back. This time they have done an Honest Trailer video of the original Star Wars. And as usual, they can make even great movies sound kind of dumb.
Meet heroes like Princess Leia, the most interesting of the two human females in the entire movie. Han Solo, a real Han Solo type. Obi-Wan, a wise Jedi master who doesn't remember the droid that saved his life several times.
I don't seem to remember ever owning a droid.
Allie, that's one for you. I love that one so much. I don't understand the guy who does this series of videos where he takes multiple movies and plays them at the same time on top of one another.
Yeah, it's unwatchable.
Yeah.
It's unwatchable. So why does it exist?
I love it. It's 2 hours and something, right? I mean, it's...
Yes.
Why?
They just start all six Star Wars movies at the same time on top of one another, and here's just a tiny clip of how annoying it is. So, you can't enjoy...
Hold, please, hold.
Okay. You can't enjoy any of them.
Right, it's terrible.
It's just a mess.
Hey, Allie, you're a Star Wars fan. Can you name all six scenes?
All six scenes?
Yeah, because that was all six movies at the same time.
So you want her to name
all the scenes that were happening.
I watched 8 seconds of that and turned it off.
Yeah.
Eight seconds of my life.
It's terrible. Rarely do we put a video in the roundup that we then warn you to not watch.
Yeah,
all right. The kids in Smosh do a very funny thing where, and a lot of shows have done this over the years, where they have somebody sitting down to interview a celebrity, except he is forced to ask the questions that are being fed to him in an earpiece. Well, they did it with Jennifer Lawrence, but what ended up happening is the guy who's asking Jennifer Lawrence the questions doesn't know that Jennifer Lawrence already knows about it.
Right.
She's in on it. She's been tipped off, so she's in on it. So she is torturing this poor guy. Like, it wasn't already going to be hard enough to ask embarrassing questions to Jennifer Lawrence. She tortures him back, and it's pretty funny.
So I don't know why the shoe thing got to me. I was like, this mother thinks he can come in and take
my
shoes. I've been in heels for 12 hours.
Oh.
Get mad or get pissed.
I was being serious about the lack of respect. I'm being serious. I just feel like this is, like, a waste of everybody's time. I'm sorry. I feel like you're not really a professional.
I guess that's the end.
And then they find out that J-Law was in on it. It's very funny. Speaking of Hunger Games, of course, the final movie in the series comes out this weekend, right?
Yep.
And somebody has imagined, and I like these when they do this, if Hunger Games came out in 1992, it would be a completely different look and a completely different music and a completely different trailer, and it would sound something like this.
Welcome to Happy Hunger Games.
Jennifer Lawrence, Donald Sutherland.
Get it off him! Get it off him!
I've been watching you, and you watching me.
The 90s are now very retro, you guys. People
yes,
are looking
are.
Back.
Dude, that was like the In the World guy.
Yeah, it sure was. Don LaFontaine.
Yes, it was.
Voiceover guy.
Wow.
He's and Irishman in Vegas is a great video. This guy gives his dad a GoPro. He's on vacation from Ireland in Las Vegas. However, his dad didn't know how to use the GoPro camera, so he shoots his entire vacation in Las Vegas with the camera turned on himself.
Oh.
And it's very funny, especially when he's standing in his hotel room and he thinks he's showing you the strip in front of him through the hotel room windows, and it's really just his naked ass in the room. It's called An Irishman in Vegas.
That's the view looking down. See? And that's, there's the Trump Tower, same color as his hair. And now that view is looking north. And that's up into the desert, up into Utah and Arizona, I think. And there's facing west, and that's the setting sun. And there's the Wyndham over there, see that smaller one? There we are. This is the strip. I think this is a microphone.
Oh, so dad, it hurts.
It's so dad.
So dad.
It
really is.
He's walking down the strip, but you only see his face walking down the strip. All right, Allie, time for your favorite video, your new boyfriend, James Wright.
I love
him. Does he do mostly commentary on food or just about other things? You say you watched a bunch of his videos.
I fell down a whole rabbit hole of his videos over the weekend. He sings quite a bit.
Okay.
But once you hear this, you're going to realize he changed the world with this video.
He changed the world because he did a review of the Patti LaBelle, the singer, has a line of pies that they sell at Walmart. And he is reviewing her sweet potato pie. When you say he changed the world, you're talking about the fact that that pie sold out in Walmarts all over the country.
All over
as a result
the
of this video.
Country.
Yeah, and you'll see why, because he's so enthusiastic about it.
Mmm. I swear. You've been truthful like Patti LaBelle after eating this. Go to Walmart and buy the Patti LaBelle pie. Patti, but you are my friend. I've never known until then, but I know now.
Right.
But he sings, and it is he's an amazing singer. Jamie Foxx has reached out to him because he started watching his posts on Facebook. Patti LaBelle called him
to thank him.
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, that's cool. And finally on this week's Roundup, our old friend Jimmy Kimmel doing what he does best this week in unnecessary censorship.
An NFL player under investigation tonight accused of f***ing a police dog.
He could face felony charges because f***ing a police dog is a felony in the third degree.
You'll want to work off that big Thanksgiving meal with some f***ing.
Scientists and doctors believe the secret to relieving knee arthritis pain may have been discovered in a rooster's c***.
Okay. All right. Jesus. You can go to KRock.com or KevinAndMe.com, see all these videos and so much more. It's this week's Kevin and Me Internet Roundup.
Wake up, and watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah. Death Cab on the world famous KRock 106.7 KROQ at 6:54. We look forward to this every year. Once a year, we talk cars with our friend Bo Bachman from Galpin Motors. He's going to be in coming up just after 7 o'clock this morning talking about the Los Angeles Auto Show, which is happening all weekend long at the L.A. Convention Center. That is a big deal for car fans.
It's right all there. This weekend and all next week all the way through Thanksgiving.
Through Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good deal. Anyway, that's coming up. Rob's out today. Allie's in on the show Biz Beat here on a Thursday. What's happening?
Hey, guys. Chris Martin was in last week, and he was talking all about the new album that's out on December 4th for Coldplay.
And you fell in love.
I enjoyed him immensely. He was just charming and lovely. But he had mentioned to us a couple of the different artists being featured on the album. Noel Gallagher from Oasis, Beyoncé.
Right.
I mean, that's enough.
Right.
But now word is other people. Ex-wife Gwyneth Paltrow, their children, plus Beyonce and Jay-Z's daughter Blue Ivy Carter are on the album as well. What?
Why?
Like, what?
How?
What? Right? So apparently Paltrow appears on the song Everglow, described as a ballad about a relationship's enduring spark.
She can sing, by the way.
She can. Yeah, absolutely.
But it is weird to say, hey, ex-wife, come be on my album.
Well, it gets weirder. Other songs will feature their two children and additional family members singing choir style. And his current girlfriend, Annabelle Wallace, will be singing on a song. What? What's happening?
Is he replacing himself as the singer?
It's just a whole family affair and new girlfriend and kids and Blue
Ivy.
It
is kind of weird.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
She is unfortunately not with us.
No.
So she won't be on it.
Tell Kevin what show Annabelle Wallace is famous for being on.
Oh, well, she's on the greatest. Thank you. Thank you. Kevin won't allow me to discuss Peaky Blinders, which is the greatest show ever on Netflix.
You go on about that show for every day, all day.
Because I want you to watch it, because I really feel like it'll be your favorite show.
Maybe, but no. And if I do, I'll never tell you.
Well, you're mean. And that's hurtful. 2 seasons on Netflix. They're shooting season 3 right now. It's amazing.
All right. What? That's not a thing.
It is a thing. Peaky Blinders. Look it up. I'm going to write a blog about it. This is just weird. Did you know there are 3 different projects about that famous 1973 tennis match between Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs?
Why does this happen so often?
3!
All at the same time.
All at the same time. But the newest one has just been cast. It's the upcoming Battle of the Sexes movie. Emma Stone playing Billie Jean King.
Okay.
Opposite Steve Carell, who will be Bobby Riggs. Also an HBO movie called Proof that stars Elizabeth Banks and Paul Giamatti.
Okay. Wow.
And
a great cast.
Matchmaker, which will have Will Ferrell as Bobby Riggs. I'm in. I don't need any more from that one.
Just Will Ferrell?
Just Will Ferrell playing himself.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
Again, she is no longer with us. But thank you for bringing that up. Remember when I filled in for Ralph last time and we discussed the Mad Decent cruise?
Yes.
Bad things happen. Woman jumped.
The
EDM cruise. Mm-hmm. A woman jumped overboard. Panic ensued. Yeah. Well, now people want their money back. But don't worry. Norwegian Cruise Line and festival organizers have promised refunds.
Okay.
Because DJ sets were nixed. An offshore excursion planned for Mexico didn't happen. Here's the problem.
Plus death.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
But the refund, $57.47.
What?
Yeah. They're claiming that is the cost of the canceled excursion plus port taxes. Everything else was non-refundable. $57.47 is what they're getting back.
I mean, I see their argument is, hey, you got 95% of what you paid for.
Yeah.
But it does not look good from a PR standpoint. If customers were on a boat that was, let's face it, the whole trip is ruined if somebody dies during your cruise.
You would think, yeah. But one passenger said, quote, I'm sorry about the one girl, but there's thousands of us who didn't need to be punished. We didn't get Mexico or most of what we were promised. That's a good point, sir.
Yeah.
Good point. $57.47.
Yeah, that does not impress me.
No, it doesn't. Coming up, something else that probably won't impress you, but why so soon? Carly Simon revealing, after 44 years, the man she wrote about in the song You're So Vain. How's that for a teaser that no one cares about? Kudos,
yeah,
Allie.
Why are they still asking Carly Simon about that song from 40
years
ago?
Which song is it?
You're So Vain. You probably think the song is about you.
Oh, I see. Has she never talked about it all this time?
She hasn't said who it's about.
Okay.
But that's your teaser, Kevin.
Wow.
Chew on that.
Can't wait.
You mean you're going to make us wait another hour after we've already waited 40 years?
44 years. Yeah.
You have to wait now till next hour and you'll tell us?
Sure do. Dick poop. Nope.
Turd Ferguson.
Unfortunately not.
The Monkees.
Oh, no, Rodney.
Jesus.
Oh.
Steven Seagal.
Nope.
Johnny Asshole.
No. All great guesses, though. All great guesses. I'll have
Steve.
Steve. Just Steve.
I love it. It's not Steve either. I'll have that story coming up. But all of these stars were born today on November the 19th. Allison Janney is 56. Meg Ryan, 54. Actor Adam Driver is 32. Jodie Foster, 53. And host Larry King is 82 years old. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Hey, quick reminder, end of the show tomorrow, Friday at 10 a.m. That's your deadline. If you'd like to apply to be Miss Double December 2016, you sign up at KROQ.com right now, 21 or over. Fill out a couple of questionnaires, send in a couple of photos of yourself, and then wait to be contacted to be in the top 10 potentially, and then be crowned as our Miss Double December 2016 at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. That live show is coming up very soon on Friday, December 4th. If you're Miss Double D, you get to be part of the family all next year. You get to go to Acoustic Christmas and the Weenie Roast and April Foolishness, singles parties, breakfast withs. So many cool things, and we'd love to have you as a member of the family. So go to KROQ.com for all the details.
Let's say hi to Bo Bachman, who is the president of cars.
Hey, guys.
President of all cars.
Very light applause for all that Bo Bachman has given to the world. It's very light applause.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
How are you, Bo? Welcome back, sir.
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing today?
Very good. Thank you.
Wonderful.
It's good to see you. I know this is it's a fun time of year, as we were talking about a minute ago, for car heads when the L.A. Auto Show comes to town. It really is one of the premier automobile showcases in the whole world all year long, right?
Absolutely. The LA Auto Show kind of used to be an also-ran, not so much of a big international show, but today it's one of the best shows in the world. And, mm-hmm. I mean, everyone
suck
flies
it, Detroit.
In. Yeah, suck it, Detroit. Exactly. No, it's true, because we, this is a car culture out here. This is the car capital of the world, so we better have a badass show.
And it's running all the way. So it's this weekend and then Thanksgiving weekend. It goes all the way through the 29th.
All the way, right? Exactly. And they're even open on Thanksgiving, which is kind of weird.
Wow.
That is weird. Let's go look at cars.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool because everybody's off, too. It gives them an opportunity to go down if they're busy. You're doing something, and we're talking about all sorts of cars, not just the ones you sell with the Galpin Group, but you're doing something very special this year for the first time with the auto show. What's going on?
Well, we actually have our own hall this year, which is pretty cool. So it's like just under 25,000 square feet. We're having all our brands down there. We're bringing in, everything from hot rods to micro cars to off-road trucks to exotics. We've got the James Bond DB10 that's in Spectre right now, showing it for the first time publicly, which is really cool. And all kinds of kind of fun things. So if you dig cars and dig customs and unusual things, that's going to be in the Galpin Hall of Customs.
That's crazy.
$3 million worth of cars, by the way, just in your room there.
How long does that take to set up something like that?
We've been working on it for months, actually.
For months.
And it's taken about a week to get everything put together. So it's intense. It's a lot to put together. We did this whole – have a Mustang, actually a coach-built kind of super Mustang, as we call it, designed by Henrik Fisker. It's all carbon fiber body, 725 horsepower. It's called the Rocket. So we actually built this whole rocket launcher and do this whole like countdown sequence. Yeah, it's a little fun and cheesy, but we go for it, and trying to create some entertainment value in the show.
Do you or your employees get to drive those cars down to the convention center, or do you tow them all?
It depends on the car. So, yeah, there were some fun cars that the guys got to drive in, like the Aston Martins and everything came in. Like, they literally finished them at, like, midnight the night before, so they're driving them in at 2 o'clock in the morning. So they had a fun drive. No traffic in an Aston Martin can be a lot of fun. But the delicate cars we ship down.
Do you reserve any for yourself to drive? Where you go, no. You know what, everybody? This one's mine.
I should do that. That's a good idea.
Seriously,
I think you've earned it.
I get kind of spoiled with all the cars there. I got to be honest. It's the greatest thing in the world being in the car business if you love cars.
Speaking of the Aston Martin, has there ever been a better tie-in for a vehicle than James Bond and Aston Martin? I bet those Bond movies are responsible for half the sales of Aston Martin in the history of the Bond franchise in 50 plus years.
It's responsible for my love of the brand. When I was 5 years old, I saw that first model DB5 and all the cool tricks that it did, and saw the first James Bond movies, and I was hooked on Aston Martin. So it's directly the reason that I'm a huge Aston Martin fan, and I think for a lot of people, I think it's the best tie-in in automotive history. And who's cooler than James Bond?
How many of those exist?
of that particular car. There are
The first one, there were two of them. One is still missing, believe it or not.
Stolen
of the James Bond DB5.
There were two of them, and somebody stole one.
There is one missing, and the other one I think just sold fairly recently for about $4 million.
Well, let's talk about the missing one.
Yes.
That's weird. What did you do with it, Bo?
I
Where is it, Bo?
If I knew where it was.
What could you do with that? You'd have to sell it on the black market
or something.
Yeah,
it literally went missing like 20, 30 years ago, and no one's ever found it.
So, that is fascinating.
That'll be a hell of a find for somebody.
No kidding. Yeah. All right, let's talk about some of the stuff that's going on at the LA Auto Show. So the deal is, this is – are we looking at 2017 cars? What are we looking at right now?
There's a lot of 2017s. There are obviously the current models are all coming out, the 2016s, but there's 2017 and 18s and some cool concept cars there as well, and a lot of technology features on autonomous driving and those types of things. So
tell me about autonomous driving, by the way. What's your read on that?
This is a self-driving car, right?
These are self-driving cars.
We ask this every year.
They're real. They're happening, and it's coming.
And every year he tells us that.
Well, it's going to take a while. Well, today you can drive in. You were talking about today. Today I can put on smart cruise control, put on the lane, departure, so it'll actually keep me in the lane. It'll keep me behind the car in front of me. So today we have semi-autonomous driving.
Okay.
The rest of it, it's going to take a while, mainly through the legal system and insurance and all those types of things.
Is that just for safety's sake, in case it runs into people or things?
Exactly, because it's the whole moral dilemmas and those types of things. And, for a while we're going to have and this is probably 10 years into the future, and we'll see. But, you'll get to the point where you get to the wherever you're going, and it's like valet parking. You just leave your car there. You get out. It parks itself. And when you're ready to go, it comes and gets you. The first place you're going to see it is in traffic pretty soon. People are just going to be, on their iPads instead of paying attention. So it's going to be a little, it's a little scary. But at the same time, it's going to be cool.
It's very scary. Look, there were people who were scared by cruise control, and then a lot of people got used to it. Now they use it in situations where it's appropriate. If you're driving to Las Vegas, cruise control is fine, right? You don't want to use it around town. But the thing about the self-driving cars that concerns me, if what ends up happening is true, that people are reading their iPads on their way to work, is that deer that runs out in front of you, or that pedestrian that doesn't pay attention to the light or something like that, I would worry that the car would not be able to read that quickly as a human could see in the same situation unfold in front of
them. Is that the biggest problem?
No, actually, it's more of a – that one's actually easy, believe it or not, Bean. I've driven in those cars where they say, okay, run into this wall and don't hit the brakes. And it's really hard for your brain to do.
So they say to you the words, run into the wall, don't hit the brakes.
Correct.
And you say – okay.
Okay.
Floyd. Wow.
And the car stops itself.
They actually
come out like a deer and just like, it jumps out in front of you and the car stops itself. So today, believe it or not, that exists on a lot of vehicles and it works extremely well. The bigger thing is more of the moral dilemma. In other words, if you're in an accident situation, how does it know to hit the dog and not the kid? Those types of things.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to be as easy. I don't think it's going to be as easy as everyone's talking about. Where you walk out of your car,
route do you take after that accident?
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. What else is new in technology? Are there any other game changers like that we're seeing in any of the models at the LA Auto Show this weekend?
That's kind of the big conversation today, because technology is getting so advanced that things are just becoming a lot easier for the driver. And that's the scary part, too, because once you stop thinking about driving, then that's when problems happen. But that's the main focus now. There is still, some focus on electric and alternative powertrains and things like that. So you got some manufacturers going after hydrogen, others going after electric. So that's still going on, but a little less prevalent
is
now.
Is any of that going to actually make it to the mainstream? Or is it always going to be a fringe?
The hydrogen, I don't know of. That's a big question. Electric is definitely coming, a lot more prevalent, because we have to. There's laws in California in particular where I believe it's anywhere from 10 to 15% of the cars sold need to be zero emissions. So that means either pure electric, hydrogen, or something like that.
Or you hire a guy to push it from behind. That's true. Whatever it takes.
That would count.
Bo Bachman is here. He's the Vice President of Galpin Motors, President of Galpin Premier Auto Group and Galpin Auto Sports. So he's got a lot going on, and he's going to be – you're going to be down there a lot over the next couple of weeks, I would assume, Bo?
We are. We'll have our full staff there, showing people all the cars and fun things. And, I'll be down there quite a bit. It's a hell of a show.
We can also take some calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you have any for Bo. And we'll take a break.
Cool.
And we'll be right back.
Our friend Bo Bachman in studio for his annual visit. He is the vice president of Galpin Motors. Hey, where is Galpin Motors for folks who are just hearing about you, Bo?
Well, we're at Roscoe in the 405 in the beautiful San Fernando Valley.
That's right.
Right across from Budweiser.
Right across. Yeah, exactly. That's a good marker.
Yep. We are talking about the LA Auto Show, which is going on through the LA Convention Center for the next couple of weeks. Tickets available at laautoshow.com. Tickets start at just $12. It looks like a great lineup this year. And by the way, before we go to calls, and we do welcome your calls on anything automotive at 1-800-520-1067, we had a listener call yesterday who was very upset that he is having trouble buying standard shift automobiles. Loves to drive a manual transmission. Says most of the cars that he likes, they don't even make a manual transmission anymore. He wanted to know why.
Because Americans like automatics is the main reason.
They're just not buying them?
But there's a new resurgence of stick shifts coming out. So like Jaguar just added putting a stick back in their F-Type. So there's been this kind of newfound love for stick shifts. The truth is, technology, again, it makes it really unnecessary. Even the best shifter can't keep up with the right transmission, which is why you see Porsche and Ferrari really getting away from a stick shift. But
they're doing a better job than we could do even manually, quote-unquote, feeling the road.
Even the best drivers in the world can't keep up with the technology today and how fast it shifts. So it's just
Another listener who emailed yesterday after our conversation with the caller and said that it used to be that standard shifts gave you better gas mileage than automatics, and that is also no longer the case. Is that true?
That is true as well. So, wow. Computers are just taking over everything, man.
Yeah, it sounds like it. All right, well, let's get some calls on. Again, 1-800-520-1067. We've got some very interesting ones, including Devora. She is on line two, please, Kevin. And she's calling us from Whittier with a question for Bo.
We are good. How are you?
We're good. A happy belated birthday, Bean.
Well, thanks. What's your question for Bo Bachman?
Well, I heard about interactive paint. It changes the color of the paint by I don't know what. But if you're about to get a ticket, can you go invisible? That's kind of what I like.
I like the way you think.
That would be awesome technology.
I like the way you think.
Wait, that would be cool.
There's paint that can change colors?
They have heat-sensitive paint.
It's like a mood ring car?
Exactly. But that's about as much as I've seen. Once they get where you can actually lay down like a video screen, can you imagine where you can actually turn a car invisible? Because you'd be able to do it.
Wow.
But right now, no, unfortunately, you can't just flip a switch and change colors.
All right, Devora. Good question, though. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Curtis Garden Grove up next. He's on line three. Hey, Curtis.
Hey, good morning. A couple of questions. One, are you going to be showing the new Ford Raptor at the show? And two, is Ford going to bring the Ranger back?
The first thing is, yes, in the Ford booth, they actually have all of their performance cars, which is really cool. Their whole new lineups. You'll see the Raptor, the Focus RS, which is probably the most amazing hot hatch of all time, all-wheel drive, the Shelby GT350 and R, and the new Ford GT supercar. So all those cars will be there, and they look absolutely amazing. And they're going to be fantastic. That all-aluminum Raptor is going to kill it. As far as the Ranger, I can't comment directly on that. I will say that in the news reports, the unions have talked about in their contract where that is part of their contract. So I'm gonna leave it there because take that as you will from what they're saying. But usually that's gonna be pretty accurate. Let's just say.
Yeah, I'd love to see a four-door Ranger here.
We would, too. So that's been something the dealers have been begging for years with the success of the Colorado that GM makes.
Yeah.
You can read into that what you may, but Ford doesn't like to lose at any area, especially to General Motors. So
thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Bo, as a lifelong car enthusiast, what's the make and model that they don't make anymore that you miss the most?
You know, they're starting to bring some of those back. Actually, for me, it was Bronco. And again, that goes back to that thing I just said about the unions and then their contracts and things. So you can read about that. For me, that's been probably the number one vehicle I'd like to see again. You know, a true off-road, something very rugged and not, something you can wash out with a hose. You know, something cool off-road. That's what I'd like to see personally.
Do you do the types of things that require an off-road vehicle?
Not
or are you
so much.
Driving from your house to the dealership in that Ford Bronco?
Yeah, but I can look cool like I do
see. Okay.
No, well, just in case something happens, you want to be ready for it,
I do wonder because in recent years, the trucks are – they're selling more than cars? Or did I hear something like that? Is that possible? The trucks are selling more than cars now
Between SUVs, crossovers, and trucks, yes, they massively are outselling cars today. I think cars are around 42-45%, and crossovers, SUV, and trucks are the remainder. So
wow.
Especially the SUV crossover segment is exploding right now. So you'll see – everything very small B-size microcars all the way up to huge Expedition Navigator size and everything in between. So that's where the growth in the market's really coming from.
Let's go to Joe in Chino. Hi, Joe.
Good morning.
Hi, what's your
question? How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Doing well. I have a question regarding the hydrogen or the fuel cell cars. I was at a fueling station the other day, and they have a hydrogen pump, and someone had just filled up ahead of me. And they got like 4.5 kilograms, and it was almost $50. And I'm just wondering, is there any savings to driving a hydrogen car, besides the fact that the cars are very expensive?
I don't know a whole lot about hydrogen. I mean, this is kind of this is the moonshot a bit with hydrogen. They are extremely expensive to produce. I think when Honda built theirs, each car cost over $1 million to make. I mean, it was like some crazy number, and they just wanted to get them out as a fleet to kind of test them. So, there are manufacturers saying hydrogen's in the future, and that's where they're investing. I think actually Toyota might be. But as far as, filling up, that's going to be a supply and demand issue. So if the technology ever gets there, I think what you'll see is a massive reduction in pricing as well, because right now there's so few stations, and it costs a lot just to get the fuel there, where if it was all over, the United States, that would be different and bring the cost down. So, look, I hope we get hydrogen cars. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I know that the station they built cost about $1.5 million to make, and it just seems there's so few people using it. It just seems like such a...
Does the same guy own the car that owns...
Yeah, right?
It's just station? For him. All right, Joe, great call. Thank you. Speaking of fuel, what's going on with Prius these days? Are they continuing to gain in popularity, or have they kind of peaked a little bit?
Well,
I feel like they were so hot 3 or 4 years ago, and now, they're kind of taken for granted. I don't hear that much new about them.
Well, they were kind of the only game in town for a long time. They were really the first mass market hybrid car, So they really were the leader, and it was the number one selling car in California for many, many years. Quite frankly, now they've got a lot more competition. As far as car enthusiasts go, it's kind of been the car to joke about because it's not really a fun-to-drive car. We joke that it's a car for people that don't like cars.
Right. Yeah.
But what Toyota's doing right now is they're going to try to come out with a sportier Prius to drive and try to capture some of that back, I think, next year. So we'll see. They just it's kind of the automatic go-to hybrid, but there's a lot of nice hybrids out there today.
I see Teslas on the road from time to time, but they're still kind of out of the reach of most people's budget, right?
They are, and you can get the Model S is, I think, just under $100,000. I was joking because the first auto show that they were at, I pulled out a card and it said starting at $55,000. I'm still waiting to see that car.
Are they going to come down in price or?
Well, they're coming out with a mass market, but it remains to be seen what that price really is going to be. But their new SUV, I think, was $125,000-$130,000. So they're true luxury cars. I mean, the batteries themselves, I think, probably cost $30,000-$40,000. I mean, that's the problem with this electric is the batteries are just incredibly expensive, and they haven't come down really in price even through mass commercialization of them. So it remains to be seen, but they build a nice car.
Well, this is always so much fun, Bo. I'm always sad when we run out of time. But people can find you and find your team at the L.A. Auto Show. Again, tell us where the Galpin Hall of Customs is.
We are in Concourse Hall, which is right between the West Hall and the South Hall. It's right in the middle. And, yeah, please come down and see Galpin.
And you'll be there for the run of the L.A. Auto Show, which opens up tomorrow at the Los Angeles Convention Center, going all the way through Sunday, November 29th. Tickets at laautoshow.com. Bo, great to see you. Happy holidays, my friend.
Thank you.
You too. Before we move on, I just want to thank Bo because he provides all of the trucks for our charity.
Oh,
my wife just calls him and he says, whatever you want. So we're trying to take advantage of that as much as possible.
What's the name of your charity, Kevin?
Friends and Helpers.
Friends and Helpers. And they just do so many wonderful things for people. How could we not help out?
We need that Aston Martin.
Bo and Kevin's wife are doing it.
We need that Aston Martin this year. Is that cool? Just to transport some stuff.
For you, Kevin, anything.
All right. We got to clear the lines from car enthusiasts. I'm sorry, but thank you to everybody who called in to talk to Bo, because now we're going to open them right back up at 1-800-520-1067. Here's why. As you know, every day this week on the Kevin Bean Show, we're giving away that trip for two to Las Vegas. We're talking about round-trip airfare, hotel, spending cash, brought to you by the film Creed in theaters November 25th. Plus, we'll give you a pair of passes to the advanced screening of Creed, the new Rocky Balboa movie, don't you know, tonight at the AMC Orange. You don't need to have any special knowledge of Rocky this time around, but be a fan, want to see this movie, love Las Vegas, and call us now. 1-800-520-1067. Your chance to win next on K-Rock. We will talk sports with our friend Jim Rome in about 20 minutes, like we do on Thursdays. Also, actress Alice Borstein will be here. Rainn Wilson on the program later today. Dr. Drew Pinsky as well. But first, want to give away that trip to Las Vegas. We've got one every day this week on K-Rock, including airfare, hotel, $500 spending cash, and you get to see the movie Creed tonight at the AMC Orange. It's in theaters everywhere on November the 25th, and it looks awesome. This game is called Viva Las Movies.
If you want to go to Las Vegas right now. Got a whole lot of clips about movies in Vegas, so perk those ears up now. Kevin's party bus will probably be there, and he'll be drinking and slurring, I swear. And that'll be funny, so get the answer right. It's Viva Las Movies. Viva Las Movies.
Okay.
So
that's a drunk Elvis is what's happening there, I guess. Viva Las Movies, here's how the game is played, because this movie is, you know, the trip to Las Vegas, and it's Creed, and they have all the great tradition of boxing in Sin City. We are playing clips from films set in Las Vegas, movies located in Las Vegas. We'll play a clip for you. All you have to do is identify the name of the film. You go into the drawing, and somebody wins the trip and the movies. Who's up first?
Let's start with Andrew in Roland Heights. Hi, Andrew.
Hi. Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Andrew, you're going to be surprised to see how many great movies that you've seen have been set in Las Vegas. This is one of them. Listen up and identify the clip, please.
Where the f*** you get off talking to people about me behind my back going over my head?
What people?
What people would you think? I wasn't going to find out.
I don't even know what you're talking about, Nick.
No? You said I'm bringing heat on you? I got to listen to people because of your f***. You're ordering me out? You better get your own f***ing army, pal.
Joe Pesci's greatest ever performance. What's the name of the movie, Andrew?
Goodfellas?
I'm sorry, it's Casino. Casino.
Ah, Casino.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, thank you for calling. All right, let's go to Chad in Montclair. Hi, Chad.
Hey, good morning.
Are you ready for your clip?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Here you go.
$500.
You don't know when to quit, do you, Griswold?
Chips.
Changing $500. Here's an idea. Why don't you give me half the money you were going to bet? Then we'll go out back, I'll kick you in the nuts, and we'll call it a day.
I want to see that movie again now. Chad, what is it?
Viva Las Vegas?
No. It's Vegas Vacation.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for playing.
Okay.
What a dynamic, entertaining performer he is, by the way.
Glenn in Whittier. Hi there.
Hey, guys. Kevin and Bean, you guys are awesome. Allie, you're beautiful.
Oh, wow. Glenn, wow. You're kind.
You know, none of that helps you if you don't know the clip, right? It doesn't work that way. You don't go into the drawing just for sucking up. But let's see if you can identify this movie, please. Set in Las Vegas.
We got to get you the f*** out of Dodge, man. We're going to Vegas tonight.
What are you talking about, Vegas?
Vegas, baby. Vegas.
What do you mean, Vegas?
Vegas, Las Vegas.
I'm not going to no Vegas.
Yeah, I think, you know what, man? We're going to go to Vegas and...
are we going to Vegas?
We're going tonight.
No, we're not going tonight.
I'm
not going to Vegas.
They go to Vegas.
Of course they go to Vegas. What's the film, Glenn?
Swingers.
Swingers.
Yeah, it is.
That's correct.
Yeah, it is.
Well done. Hang on. You're in the drawing.
All right. Let's go to Jason in Chino Hills. Hi there.
Hey, Popo's out.
To you as well, sir. Are you ready for...
Viva Las Movies.
I am. Let's go.
Here's your clip.
$13 million and you drive this piece of cross country to pick me up? Blew it all on the suit. Where are they?
Back row, silver sedan, 10 o'clock. Stopped and picked up your personal effects. Hope you don't mind.
I'm not sure these belong to me.
All right, what movie is that?
Okay.
That's Ocean's 11.
Yes, it is.
It sure is.
Well done.
All
right, well done. Glenn is in. Jason is in. Let's see how Henry does. He's up next in Montclair. He's on line 5. Hey, Henry.
Hey, hello, guys.
All right, you ready for your Las Vegas movie?
Yes, I am.
Tell us the title of this.
Mr. Tyson would like to know, why is this tiger in your bathroom?
Hold on. That was completely unnecessary. I'm a huge fan. When you knocked out Holmes, that was...
Explain.
Look, we were drugged last night. We have no memory of what happened.
It's true. We got in all kinds of trouble last night, and now we can't find our friend. And if you want to kill us, just go ahead, because I don't even care anymore.
Stu, what are you talking about?
What? I don't care.
If you don't get this right, you have to stop listening.
Yep.
The Hangover.
Yes. All right. You can keep listening.
Kevin, still your favorite movie of all time?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Let's try Andrew, another Andrew. He's in Pomona. He's on line 6. We're playing for a trip to Las Vegas, Nevada. Airfare, hotel, spending cash, courtesy of the film Creed. Andrew, you ready to slay us?
It's me.
All right. All right, good luck. Here's your Las Vegas set movie. What is it?
I'm at your disposal for anything else that you might need.
Is that your job? You're just here for us?
I can't believe who I'm supposed to be hosting this weekend.
Who?
50.
P-50?
50.
50 people in there?
No, 50 Cent. Curtis Jackson.
Oh, for the Jackson 5. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Is that Get Him to the Greek?
No, I'm sorry. That was Las Vegas. Robert De Niro and Kevin Klein. Funny movie. All right, let's do one more. Let's try to go out on a winner. Let's see if Jimmy can hook us up.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, guys.
You ready for...
Viva Las Movies.
Here's your clip.
Let's do this.
Good luck.
Suddenly, there was a terrible roar all around us, and the sky was full of what looked like huge bats, all swooping and screeching and diving around the car. And a voice was screaming, Holy Jesus, what are these goddamn animals?
Say something!
Boy, one of the strangest movies ever set in Las Vegas. What is it, Jimmy?
No clue. Mars Attacks?
So it's Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Yeah, let's do one more, right? Who's with me?
Sure.
Okay. All right.
That's always our mistake, isn't it?
Why?
It right there. That's always our mistake.
Why?
Because Adrian is going to nail it.
Okay.
Adrian, don't let me down.
Oh, I won't.
Anytime
Kevin
we say
vouching for you.
Anytime we say let's do one more, it goes south. All right. Here we go. Good luck.
I've got a major problem, okay? My fiancée was kidnapped and taken to Hawaii. I've got to get there now.
Well, I'm trying to make arrangements to get to Milwaukee for my nephew Douglas's wedding on the 21st.
You're not even flying today?
No. Consumer Reports said that if you make your travel arrangements 2 weeks in advance at
the airport...
You're
seeing this line? We're all flying today.
Please, sir, if you don't get back on...
Then what?
What movie is that?
What do you think, Adrian? Vegas?
What?
Leaving Las Vegas?
That's Honeymoon in Vegas.
Honeymoon in Vegas.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage? Flying Elvises?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So.
All right. Kevin Vouch for
my
you.
Bad.
That tells you everything you
my
need
bad.
To know about Adrian. Sorry. All right, Glenn, Jason, Henry, listen up. Alan McKay's going to do the drawing. Who's going to Las Vegas courtesy of the film Creed in theaters November 25th and the Kevin Aveen Show?
The winner is Henry.
Henry! Congratulations, Henry.
Hey, thanks very much, guys.
You win. Enjoy the trip to Las Vegas. And thanks for playing the game.
Viva Las Movies.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:55.
Thursday morning. Ralph is out today. Allie's filling in with the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Remember a couple months ago when Ralph told us about the Omaze charity where you go onto the website and you can basically donate money and get once-in-a-lifetime experiences? I believe that the one he told us about was Schwarzenegger. You get.
Oh, you blow stuff
up
with
him. Yeah, you got to blow stuff up with him. Yeah. Amazing stuff.
Kevin, well, how did you not buy that?
I know.
It involves
right?
blowing stuff up.
It's crazy. It is crazy. Well, a year and a half ago, they did one for Star Wars called A Force for Change. They raised over $4 million for UNICEF. Unbelievable. But maybe you didn't win. Don't worry. Oh, my God. Are you sitting down?
Well, I mean, you know I'm not.
Okay, I'm looking at you. Bean, okay. You sitting down?
I am. Do I need to be for this?
Yes. For $10 or more, you go to omaze.com/Star Wars, and you are going to be entered in to win this grand prize. Two winners are going to get tickets for themselves and three guests to the red carpet premiere for Star Wars The Force Awakens in either London or Los Angeles. They're going to fly you out. They're going to put you up at a 4-star hotel. They will also walk the red carpet and meet the cast of Star Wars The Force Awakens and experience the magic of Star Wars on that silver screen for the first time in 10 years.
What?
Oh, my God.
How many times can you enter, Allie?
I don't have this on here, but I assume you're just entered in once. But I am going to put in, you know, $10 at the very least. But here's the thing that's different from the last one. You're Bean. Right? Bean? Oh, Bean, I told you to sit.
I'm okay.
All right.
By donating at omaze.com/Star Wars, fans are going
Taint
to...
Wars.
Nope.
Star
fans
Wars.
Will be supporting 15 charities around the world. So 15 of the cast members picked charities that they're passionate about that are close to their hearts. So, wow. They're going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is some good stuff.
I mean, that's an unbelievable grand prize.
Yeah.
I think they'll have pictures of Allie around there for the security.
Right? Don't let this girl
in.
I'm
sure they do.
That's probably a good move. I talked about it last hour, and it was trending all day on Twitter yesterday. Why? Not real sure. But after 44 years of not revealing who the man was behind the song You're So Vain, Carly Simon has come clean.
This is big.
Yeah, it's huge, you guys. Do we have a drum roll or any? You mentioned some people that were not. It was not Steve.
Okay.
It was not Johnny Asshole.
All right. Fetty Wap.
Fetty Wap, no.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Nope.
Wouldn't that be incredible if her hit from the 70s was about Fetty Wap?
Like, she just knew. She knew. Yeah, it was, nope. Biggie Smalls is the illest.
No.
Here he is, Keith Richards.
No. Same age group? Maybe.
Okay.
The second verse.
What's up? It's Hulk Hogan.
It's not about Hulk Hogan. It is about Warren Beatty.
Okay.
Who cares, right? Carly Simon says that Warren thinks the entire song is about him.
Okay.
But it's not. She hinted that there are two other verses about two different men. But she is not giving up the names. However, her book, Boys and Trees, comes out November 24th.
How about that?
Yeah.
I'm with Bean in who asked her what it was
who
about
cares,
now.
Right?
Who cares?
It's 40 years ago.
44!
Lots of people write songs about things that happen in their life, and sometimes they elaborate or they condense or they make up parts of it. It's just that's part of the songwriting. So you had a feeling and you wrote a song about it. Who cares?
First three is about Pee Wee Herman.
Now that is a surprise to me.
Mm. I did not know that. Oh.
Be interesting, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be
I hear you believe in a lot of crazy stuff.
That's true. It is very true. And sad news, after 22 seasons, E! Entertainment TV is ending the wonderful Joel McHale series, The Soup.
Wop, wop, wop.
Yeah. It launched the careers of Greg Kinnear, who hosted from 91 to 95, along with John Henson, Hal Sparks, Aisha Tyler. And the series finale will air on December the 18th.
So you're saying the finale is going to air on the day Star Wars comes out?
Yeah, a lot of people.
Okay, good.
You can't go to Star Wars, definitely. Wow. Yeah, it's kind of doomed, huh?
Right?
Oh.
I mean, that's a choice.
It is a choice. It's just a bummer. All of these stars were born on today, November the 19th. We've got actor Adam Driver, 32, Jodie Foster, 53, Meg Ryan, 54, Allison Janney is 56, and the beloved Larry King, 82 years old. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8 minutes after 8 o'clock.
He is the name in sports, Jim Rome, heard on more than 200 radio stations throughout this great land of ours, and locally right here on AM 980 The Beast from 9 till noon every day. Jim Rome, welcome back to The Kevin and Bean Show. Sir, how are you?
Wow, not cool.
Took a turn.
Not cool at all.
Took a turn.
Come on, Jim, we're still friends.
Not cool. What's up, guys?
We gave Jim some we thought, great news right before the song ended, but not so great for him, it sounds like.
Great
all
for
right,
you,
so
I was going to say.
Yeah,
right. I'm generally not a big fan of The Onion, but they did make me chuckle this morning when I saw the headline that said Peyton Manning now has to use a service dog to help him to get out onto the field. And I thought, aww, well, that's just kicking a man when he's down. But at what point do we put Peyton down? I mean, I'm serious, Jim. Like, what's the plan for Mr. Manning the rest of the year?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of like that proverbial family dog that's bumping into mm-hmm. sliding glass doors. He can't see very well. He's in a lot of pain. You have to do the cruel, we have to do the humane thing and take care of this. I mean, this guy, he's a shot fighter who can no longer defend himself. And if I'm in his corner, I'm going to throw in the towel before he gets badly hurt and damages his legacy even further. I mean, the guy's just another great, great player that hung on too long. He's far from the first. He won't be the last. But this has got a very bad look. And I'm not rooting against him, but I hope I don't see him again because I don't want to remember that guy this way. It's a bad, bad look.
That was one of the weirdest games ever where he was intercepted and booed and then broke the NFL record and then intercepted and booed, intercepted and booed, intercepted and booed and pulled.
Yeah. And then, which is why I think it's okay that he doesn't come back. They got him that record. I mean, they got him the record, right, and then he went back out there, and it got worse and worse. The guy's just so jacked up physically. He just can't go. Like, mentally, he wants to do it, but the guy's 39 with so many different injuries. They got him the record. They got to find out if the guy behind him can play, but at this point, you can't bring this guy back. I don't see how you bring him back. I wouldn't.
So if you're the coach of the Broncos, you just have that hard talk with Peyton. You say, we love you and thanks for everything you've contributed, but it is time for us to move on.
No, not if you're the coach. Not if you're the coach, but if you're John Elway and you run that team and your guy's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
I mean, imagine telling a Hall of Famer, hey, you're done. Go over there and sit over there. We don't want to see your face. You can't come back. It's almost an impossible conversation to have, but Elway's the Hall of Famer, and he is the guy that broke off Tim Tebow when nobody wanted to see him go. So if anybody can make that conversation work, it's Elway.
Now, do you feel that Kobe Bryant is in the same situation as Peyton Manning, or do you think he still has some gas in the tank and is still useful to the club?
I hate to say it. It's pretty similar. It's pretty similar. He's not as bad off as Peyton Manning. I mean, they've got no chance to win right now with Peyton Manning. If he's out there with five completions and four picks, they've got no chance.
Yeah.
I think Kobe's still effective or can be effective if he accepts a role and understands what he can and can't do. If he plays limited minutes and they open up and let the kids have a chance to develop, then Kobe can still be effective and good for them. But I've got a feeling this is his last time, too.
The difference, I think, is that Kobe is still a name that draws people to the arena.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
And I don't
think
Peyton Manning is at this point.
No, nobody's coming out there to see him. But Kobe, I mean, in Los Angeles, Kobe is still a draw. He still makes a difference to the bottom line. TV ratings, attendance, he definitely still has that. So in that sense, they're different, and he's still a little more effective than Manning is as a player.
All right, back to football for 1 second. Johnny Manziel, and I've been following this story with some interest, and the league is in a tough position, as we've talked about multiple times, Jim, with the spotlight being on them, as it should be, on how they handle these domestic violence cases. Johnny Manziel's case is a little bit different in that no charges were filed, but the story, it seems to be horrific about him beating up this woman in a car and her trying to jump out of a moving car, and there seems to be no recourse for anybody to do anything, right?
I'm not really sure what's true and what's not true with regards to that story. I mean, we know that he went into rehab, he had some issues, he came out, he was doing pretty well. And then all of a sudden the guy's day drinking and he has an alleged altercation with his girlfriend and the NFL investigates and then they're on to the next thing. I don't know exactly what happened in that case, but from a football standpoint, all of a sudden this guy gets the nod that he's going to play for the rest of the year for the Browns. So the NFL investigated and didn't see too much there. Now this guy's back playing football.
Is that a weird decision for the team to say you're going to start for the rest of the season?
No, it's a no-brainer. They've got to play this guy right now because the guy that he was backing up is Josh McCown, and they know exactly what they have in him. He's a journeyman. He's a backup. He's not a part of their future. In Manziel, they gave up a lot to get this guy, and they're still not even sure whether or not he can play. The team's going nowhere. They're in the tank. The season's over. You run that guy out there, and you see whether or not he can play because they still don't know, so it's the right decision, actually.
Would you say being a Browns fan is the hardest fan to be in the NFL? Because every couple of years you go through, they fire the GM and they fire the coach and then they bring in another quarterback. I mean, if you look at the list of personnel that have gone through that club in the last 20 years, it's staggering.
It's right up there. That's a hard team to be a fan of because, you know, the difference is, like, here in L.A., we're fans of our teams, but if things don't go well, we move on to the next thing. You know, that's why we're not thought to be a great sports town because we can ride up front. When the teams are killing it, we're happy, but if not, we go to the beach, we go to the mountains, we do something else. In Cleveland and a lot of other markets, there isn't a whole lot of the other things going on. They're totally invested in their team, so if the team wins, you're having a good day. If the team loses, you're having a bad life. And nothing good has happened to that team for a long, long time. They need stability. They need a quarterback. It is not easy being a Browns fan. But you want to keep going out there no matter what. No matter how bad that team is, they keep showing up.
That's right. Jim Rome on the line
not
here
us.
On Kevin and Bean. That's right. You can hear him today at 9 o'clock on AM 980. Listen, since the last time we spoke to you last Thursday, the greatest upset potentially in UFC history happened at UFC 193. I'm sure you watched that fight on Saturday night. Were you as stunned as we were by how bad Ronda Rousey looked from the bell?
You know, I was. I mean, when you look at it, what's not stunning is that she got beat. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that I picked her to lose that fight, but in MMA, everybody loses. That's the great thing about that sport.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. Everybody loses at some point. But losing is one thing, and her getting knocked the hell out is another. I didn't expect to see that. And that was a violent and humiliating defeat. I mean, we were talking about somebody who had this aura and this mystique. She was indestructible. She was invincible. She talked so much junk, and we all bought in. And to see her get knocked out like that, I think maybe she can make it back and win that belt again, but she'll never be seen the same way. That mystique and aura are both dead.
Yeah, it wasn't just the knockout. It was the entire first round as well.
No, you know what it was? It wasn't one of those things where she ran into one punch
right.
or it was one knockout. I mean, she literally got the hell beat out of her. She got her face broken, and there was nothing she could do. I mean, normally Ronda gets in the ring and she intimidates her opponent. She runs across the ring, throws her into the ground, rips her arm off, wham, bam, thanks for coming, it's over. But you could see her trying to do it, and it didn't work, and Holly Holm just kept picking her apart.
Yeah, when she had Holly Holm down and was going for the armbar, I was like, all right, this is it. Oh, wait, what?
Yeah, exactly, and I guarantee she was too. I mean, she had taken so much punishment to that point, but she probably thought, all right, I'm going to get the hell out of here right now, and then Holly jumped right back up. I mean,
yeah.
Holly easily got out of that. Ronda had never fought anybody like that before.
Hey, we have Holly in tomorrow. You want us to ask her any questions?
No, fellas, I really don't. What do you mean you have her in tomorrow?
She's physically
in your space tomorrow.
Yeah, Holly.
Yeah, she's coming back to the K-Rock studios like she did a couple of weeks ago before the fight.
Fellas. Yeah. That's pretty cute. And,
but you have fun with
awesome.
Whatever you're doing on your show, yeah. too, though. I mean, that's fine. I'm sure you could take some callers
from the
clones.
I'll probably have a great time, man. Congratulations. You fellas should be very happy with yourselves.
Hey, Jeff,
I know
last
I'm not happy with
this.
You.
Last question. Who do you think, and I'm looking for a sincere answer, who do you think the audience will be rooting for at the rematch?
You know, I've got an answer to that. When she comes into your house tomorrow, why don't you ask her?
Right.
You know what's interesting? You know, really, really quickly about that, you notice, yes. You see all the haters come out when she got beat?
Yes.
Oh,
unreal.
Yeah. Come to find out, not everybody likes Ronda. I love Ronda, and I would still buy stock in Ronda right now. She might be a beaten-down stock, but I'd buy more. I'd load up on her. But there are a lot of people that could not wait to jump her when that went down. So in terms of who's going to win or who they want to win, I think it's going to be a very close fight to pick, and I think you're going to have a lot more Holly fans than we thought.
All right. Well, listen, have a great flight today and tomorrow.
And you give her my best tomorrow when you talk to her.
Enjoy broadcasting from the 7-Eleven in Albuquerque, wherever you're going to be. The Jim Rome Show can be heard on 9 to noon on AM 980 The Beast, and look for new episodes on Showtime as well. Jim, thanks for the time, sir.
Fellas, thanks so little.
Actor Rainn Wilson joins us next hour on The Kevin and Bean Show, and our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky as well is coming up. But first, Alex Borstein, ladies and gentlemen, back on The Kevin and Bean Show. It's been so long since we've seen you. How have you been?
I've been delicious and nutritious.
Alex, of course, is many things. She is a comedian and a writer and a voice actress and a regular actress, and she does it all. She's on HBO's Getting On. Of course, she's the voice of Lois Griffin on Family Guy, and she's in theaters right now with Love the Cooper. So this has been a very busy year, 2015, for you, it looks like.
It has been a busy year, and I've got these two kids that live with me.
Are they yours?
Yeah, they came out of my body, and
what?
They live in my house. And
can
I
you
have
not
to,
get them to go away?
I have to feed them.
What?
One of them I still have to wipe. Gross.
Oh, those are the worst.
I know.
How old are your kids, Alex?
They're adorable. They might be listening. Hi, guys. 7 and 3.
7 and 3. And is it everything you hoped it would be, or is it a nightmare of the worst proportion?
No, you know, it's all those cliche things. It's pretty amazing. It's exactly, mm-hmm. it cracks open like a new chamber of your heart you didn't know was there. And I absolutely believe it's helped me be a better writer and a better actor and a better human.
My mom was over a couple of weeks ago, and I said, I didn't realize when I was growing up that you didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah, I
you
know.
Literally, yeah. You're just, you guess.
Yes.
And you hope you're right. You don't know.
It's one giant improv exercise.
Yes. And she's like, yeah, we didn't know. We were just making
it up. Because when you're a kid, you assume adults have answers.
Right.
Yeah. You assume turns out they don't. It's a good thing that we don't know they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
It would be anarchy.
What is it like as an actress, though, to have your kids? I mean, they're too young for a lot of the stuff that you've done, but some of it they've seen, right? I mean, they've seen Mommy on TV. They've certainly heard Mommy's voice on TV. What is that like for them?
Yeah, you know, Paranorman was a movie that that I did that my son got to watch, and that was pretty cool. I did a voice in that, and that was really fun. Family Guy, I don't really let them watch.
I was going to ask about that, yeah.
They've gone with me to record sessions
and
heard some of the voice, and, you know, they think it's strange. They, you know, when my son was very little, he used to be like, get that woman out of you.
Like
the voice coming out of me, he assumed someone was inside.
Wow. But you don't let him watch the show.
I don't.
Or A Million Ways to Die in the West. They couldn't see that.
They did not see Ted. Oh, my God. Ted, I got, you know, Seth gave me one of these giant teddy bears. I brought it home. It's so cute. My kids were playing with it. And then they made a mistake. They squeezed the hand.
Uh-oh.
And it comes with just the tons of filthy language. Ted says some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry to ask, but you didn't know that?
You know, there are several teddy bears, some which made noises, some which didn't. And I pulled the wrong one.
You got the noise one.
I got the noise
Alex,
one.
How many seasons in are you on Family Guy?
I think what's airing now is 14. Is that right?
Is that astonishing
14
to you?
Or 15? Yes. I can't believe I'm, you know, 26 years old now.
You were so young when you started.
I was so young when you started.
Because
I've begun menstruating. It's amazing.
Look,
yeah, it's I can't believe
almost
it.
No show lasts 14 seasons. I mean, The Simpsons is the exception to everything in television. But you never, when you start a show, even if it's successful, and let's all remember that Family Guy had a pretty rocky launch, and it was touch and go there for a couple of years. But you, in a million years, never think that a show is going to be on for that long, and
no.
It just must be like every year when you get the call, you must be like, really?
Yeah, it's I'm the luckiest woman in baseball. I realize it every moment. It's ridiculous, but. Now it's that worry of, I can't count on this. Like, you kind of have to constantly spin plates and be looking for new things because you just never know what's going to come. But
how much do you know? Do you know there's going to be a 15th season?
I don't
Sometimes
know.
They'll announce ahead of time, you know.
I don't know that there will be a tomorrow.
Okay.
I take nothing for granted, gentlemen.
Okay.
But
no, I think, you know, Seth has a deal for so many years, so we assume... You know, it's a deal with 20th Century Fox, so we assume that it was inclusive of Family Guy.
Right.
But who knows? You never know.
Have you traveled and heard the Lois from other countries?
I have. I went to Budapest, which is where my mother's from. And my cousin there, her name is Borcha, and she hooked me up on a little lunch date with the woman who does my voice over there.
Oh my God.
No kidding.
What was that like? It was awesome. It was.
Do they try and do an impression of you or do they care at all?
No, she does an impression.
This, does
it
an
was
impression
in 2012. I know because I was pregnant with my daughter when I was traveling and met her for the sit down. And it was the weirdest thing hearing her.
Did she?
In my title.
Saying it in a different language and hearing the tone was mind-boggling.
How much ghetto bootleg Family Guy merchandise have you come across in your life?
People like to send me the filthy things.
Sure.
So, and we put them up in the office in the Family Guy writer's room. So right there, right now, there's a T-shirt that's like a nude Lois spread eagle. There's a lot of nude Lois stuff.
I bet people have done frightful things to Lois.
Oh my goodness. Yes. There's a whole
a lot of artists
YouTube
out there.
Generation that have created filthy, filthy things.
Is there going to come a point where you have to tell your kids, okay, that one's not me?
Yeah, it's very funny. When I see a nude Lois, I get shy as though it's my body. Like I have this very strange reaction.
You don't want people to see her body?
I try to cover myself or she's always drawn with a very nice figure. I guess I should be happy about that. But it is.
Well, you
got
to be protective of Lois. I mean, you know, I'm sure you got a lot invested in her.
I do. I love her. She's an alter ego at this point.
Family Guy airs Sunday nights at 9 on Fox. Alex Borstein is in studio. I mentioned you are in Love the Coopers, which is in theaters now. But when we got to take a quick break. When we come back, I do want to talk about Getting On, which is one of my favorite shows on HBO.
Yay.
It's so great, Alex, and you are so heartbreaking on that show, and also hilarious, which you know is one of the things I love about the show so much. But more with our guest, Alex Borstein, when we return right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Alex Borstein in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. She is, among other things, the star of HBO's Getting On, Sunday nights at 10. How comfortable were you at the beginning of the series playing a nurse?
You know, I grew up with a brother with like a chronic illness in the house, a bleeding disorder, so that we were in and out of hospitals all the time and treatment centers and stuff. So I was very well versed, I guess, in medicine. But don't get me wrong; I'm not saying I know anything about it. But you know, I was
then
I
you
was
started nursing.
I was comfortable in the environment. So, and we also did, HBO was very insistent that we did a lot of actual hands-on work. We followed some nurses around on their daily routines to get it down a little.
You get in show business and you think it's going to be glamorous. And then I watch your nurse Dawn on this show, and some of the stuff, I mean, you're really doing it. I mean, you're really putting, you know, you explain some of the gross stuff that you've had to do. And I say well, just because it's real stuff that people have to do and go through, especially as a nurse.
Yeah, we have a lot of studies about stool. There's a stool chart. There's fecal matter that's found on and about things on set. This season, we work with an anal horn.
Yes. Hold, please. What?
Too. Yes, an anal horn. There is a vaginal cream with beads.
Yes, that's right.
There are a lot of...
Vaginal cream that ends up going in the wrong place, by the way.
Glamorous, glamorous things on set at Getting On.
Is the anal horn, and I hate to focus on that,
no,
but it
please.
Was one
I
of the
played
most,
the anal horn in high school band.
Nice.
Yes. It was one of the most disturbing scenes I've ever seen because Kevin.
Very
the
difficult
anal,
for a marching band, by the way.
The anal horn malfunctioned, or it was used improperly. Something went wrong, and mm-hmm. what was supposed to end up in a little bag at the end of a tube ended up all over half the people in the room.
Yes.
Filming that, Alex.
That?
You didn't get hit, thank God. But
I did not. That, you know, we have a special effects person on the set that's rigging tubes and pipes and pressure hoses so that disgusting things happen to actors and to actors'
that's
faces.
Their job is to make sure that happens.
That is someone's. They go home at night and say, how do I effectively make this look like splattered feces?
I just heard the words splattered feces on our show.
It's the name of my band also.
I think there are probably some people who don't know anything about this show but think it's about old people dying and it's going to be heavy. And there certainly are some moments like that where you get into those big issues. And Niecy Nash in particular, she's such a thoughtful nurse, Dee Dee, on the show. And she's so brilliant on the program. But there's also so much comedy too. I mean, it's a little bit of a tough sell for some people maybe if they haven't watched it yet, I think.
Yeah, you know, I think people are scared of their own mortality. People, especially in L.A., people, you know, aren't aware that there are seasons and things die and things are reborn. But, man, this is reality and that's what's going to happen. And we found a way to, I think, beautifully tell some of these stories and show that there is comedy in it, that it's part of life. Dying is part of life. It's the last part. And it could be the best part.
And it's the part nobody wants to think about. So I think that makes it a lot harder for the writers and everybody on your show, right?
You know, the two writers, the showrunners, wanted to do a show after losing both of their mothers. They both experienced these care centers, hospice, and rehabilitation. And they found it so funny and so dark and so touching. They wanted to do something. And then when they saw there was this UK show, they said, why don't we redevelop that? And I think that's what makes the show so funny and so dark. These broad comedic moments and these tiny tender moments because these guys went through it and they're mm-hmm. speaking from a real place. It's very real.
Has it changed the way you look at death?
It has. It actually has. It's made me realize I'm glad I had kids so someone will take care of me.
Yeah.
You hope, yes.
I hope. No, but it really did. You're going to die. It's just a question of how. It's it's kind of like one of those books where you choose your endings. You can choose to go this way or that way. You're going to finish the book. Either way, it's going to end, but you might choose your own adventure and how you get there.
Has it changed the way you look at anal horns?
It absolutely has changed the way I look at anal horns. I'm now
trying to bring that back in.
Very receptive to that. Very receptive.
Alex, there's no show that I can think of on television that has ever had so many really old actors. Are they tough to find to play these, you know, sometimes pretty significant parts in the show?
No, that's one of my favorite things about the show is that it's kind of like turning over a rock and finding gold. You know, these women are everywhere. They're brilliantly talented. June Squibb is back this season. You know, Oscar nominated. This woman was in Gypsy with Ethel Merman. Rita Moreno is there this year. You know, Anne Gilbert plays our birdie. She was Millie on the Dick Van Dyke Show. It's
they must be
so
thrilled to have
amazing.
Work come their way at this point in their lives.
So thrilled. And that it's huge, three-dimensional, real people and showing what it's really like at this age. And what I love is, like, sitting down and talking with these women and realizing that is me. I used to, for a long time, you'd see an older person on the bus or the subway and think, oh, that's never going to happen. And
right.
Now you just realize, no, that is me. That's me just in a tiny, altered a tiny bit. My hair is gray.
You got like 2 good years left, though, I think, Alex.
In L.A.? No, I'm done.
Yeah.
No, I'm done. I'm old and brittle.
We're talking about getting on HBO Sunday Nights at 10. And by the way, it's also, in addition to everything that goes on with the patients and those big issues, it's also a workplace comedy as well because, you know, it's a hospital and hospitals are businesses and they have administrators and they have lawyers and they have paperwork and they have all this other stuff that does lend itself to some very funny moments, too.
That's what I love. The show also, like, shines a light on the tragedy that is our healthcare system and what a mess it is and the red tape that is required to just get somebody well or, in our case, get someone tended to and cared for. And on top of that, you're seeing our personal stories. This season especially, you see a little bit into Dawn's life. My character has a medical crisis of her own. We kind of see her on the other side, what it's like for her as a patient, perhaps. And you find most people in the medical profession make the worst patients.
Horrible. My mother's a nurse. His mother's a nurse.
Yeah.
My dad's a perfusionist. The worst.
The worst. Yeah. Because they know too much.
Yeah.
Because they realize. But we also see kind of inside Dee Dee's, you know, Niecy Nash's character's personal life with her family. And they're trying to take care of their own elderly person in their family. And Laurie Metcalf's character is unraveling. So it's this amazing dance that's happening this season between the patient stories, the comedy of happening as a workplace comedy, plus what's happening in the healthcare system, plus what's going on in our personal lives. And it's amazing that it happens in a 30-minute show.
Here's how I've tried to sell it to friends when I've told them about it, if they're not watching it, is it's everything you liked about Nurse Jackie, but pushed much further. Like the comedy of it and the drama of it and the medical aspect of it and everything like that. But everything just goes much further than they did on that show. And I think that's accurate, right?
Yeah. And Edie Falco's not in our show. That's another difference.
That's another.
That's a tiny difference.
Pretty big difference.
Yeah.
Well, you are terrific on it. I sincerely am such a big fan. Now, they're announcing this is the last season of the show, which makes me very, very sad. Is there any hope? Could it be a reprieve?
If we all watch it, will that help? I would like to think so. Maybe if we did some campaign, like, you know, everyone started sending Depends diapers to HBO. They just get boxes and boxes of Depends.
That's just a working idea, though, right? That's not a.
Yeah,
that's not our final.
It's in progress. If we set forward on it, I'll tweet.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. I know that it's gaining momentum. I know. I feel like there's so much more excitement about it. We're in the New Yorker right now. We're, you know, Entertainment Weekly gave us this great. We're getting these great reviews and so much love that who knows? I mean, I lived through Family Guy's.
Yeah.
Coming back from the dead. So I don't know. I'd like to believe it's possible.
Well, I hope so, too. Definitely check it out if you have the HBO or your parents' password for HBO Go. The show is called Getting On, and it is great. Family Guy, of course, still going strong, and it's 14 seasons, Sunday nights on Fox. And you can look for Alex in the film Love the Coopers. By the way, real quick before we go, Diane Keaton and John Goodman and Ed Helms. What a cast, right?
And Alan Arkin. Are you kidding
me? Yes, Alan Arkin.
That
super
was
fun, right?
Insane. It was so much fun. Shot in Pittsburgh in the snow, and it was like a cozy, cuddly little family reunion of people I'd never
Nothing like before. Pittsburgh in the winter. That's what I've always said.
Yes.
Alex, we love you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
we found out that this happens a lot. There's like baby songs. It sounds like baby songs, and there's...
Were you searching for the word lullabies when you said baby songs twice?
Yes, I was. Okay. Yes, right. I was.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us just after 9 this morning on K-Rock. Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning. Kevin and Bean Show, what's happening?
Hey, guys. We've been talking about how The Soup has been canceled after 22 seasons, which is a bummer. But some good news for shows that may have been renewed or that have just been picked up. The Sci-Fi Network has picked up Ghost Hunters for an 11th season and Paranormal Witness for a 5th season. Lots of ghosty things happening.
I'm sorry, what?
Ghosty things are happening? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I didn't know those shows were on for that long.
I didn't either.
Excellent. Nigel Lithgow, you know him, So You Think You Can Dance.
Right.
Well, now he has a new show. It will be called Every Single Step. It is pitting choreographers against other choreographers. Nope. All right. Well, that will premiere on November 19th on Verizon's Go 90 channel.
Oh, Go 90.
Do you know what that is?
No.
I do not.
I've not heard of the Go 90 channel.
Me either. I assume it's maybe only for Verizon cable subscribers. I don't know. Fox has a show. It's going to be a reality competition show that would challenge a Navy SEAL. This is something none of us will be involved in, but it could be very fun to watch. Deadline is reporting that the show will be called American Grit. It's going to train male and female competitors by using a group of men and women from various military services led by WWE star John Cena. They're going to include Noah Galloway. He's the one who lost his leg in Iraq and was on Dancing with the Stars, along with a Navy SEAL, a Marine gunnery sergeant, and a former U.S. Army Ranger. They're going to go through the training, go through an obstacle course, and then win $1 million.
Okay.
Right?
So the people in the military, they are what? They're coaches or trainers? Or?
No, they are going to be the ones competing.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Right.
I would think that some of those, what's that that show that we like? You know, the one with the guy who. Allie.
And the legend continues.
Can I help him now?
Yes.
American Ninja Warrior?
Yes.
Oh.
I would think those people would be excellent contestants on this new show that you're talking about.
Dean, as soon as you started struggling, both Kevin and Chip gave me the stop immediately sign.
So that's the rules. That is the rule.
But that went on longer than usual.
Yes, that's why it was beautiful.
If someone is drowning, you do not throw them a life raft.
That's the rule. And I suffer more than anyone else from that rule, so I'm willing to enforce it.
Our friend, the movie man, writes in to tell us that Go 90 is an app. It's a Verizon app that you can watch shows on. So now we know. Thank you, Ross. Appreciate that.
Thank you. What were you saying about American Ninja Warrior?
Just that those contestants would be great for this new show, it sounds like. They're the kinds of people who could handle this sort of physical challenge.
All right.
Thank you. Good point. For all of you that have been saying, I need more projects about the 1973 tennis match between Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs. You know you people. Well, don't worry. There are three in the works right now. One starring Emma Stone opposite Steve Carell. That's going to be
from Canada.
I don't believe either of them are. But that's going to be called the upcoming Battle of the Sexes. There is also an HBO movie called Proof. That's going to be starring Elizabeth Banks and Paul Giamatti.
Wow, great cast there, too.
Right? And then this one, which I'm all in, and there's no female yet for it, but it's called Matchmaker, and it will be Will Ferrell.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
Yeah.
That just happened.
Yeah. Will Ferrell is Bobby Riggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's in?
I'm in all for Will in every single project, yes.
Okay. I like it. All right, so three projects right now.
That's odd that happens that way.
Happened in 1973. Good times. All right. All of these stars were born today. November the 19th.
Remember when Bean couldn't think of American Ninja Warrior?
No, I don't.
That was great. Back to you.
Okay. Host Larry King is 82 years old. Actress Allison.
What do you care?
I'm sorry? Larry?
What do you care?
It's your birthday. You're 82. We just want to wish you a happy birthday.
Why?
Well, because it's quite an achievement to reach 82. And you've
Why do you use offensive language?
It's just, it's happy birthday. I don't think I was really being offensive.
Will Glenda be there?
She will not, sadly. But you can invite her again. I mean, give her a call. Allison Janney, 56. Meg Ryan, 54. Jodie Foster, 53. Kylo Ren. Adam Driver is 32. I'm Allie McKay and Pharrell Carmen. Welcome to Showbiz Beat.
He is the busiest man in show business. Our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, who you can see, of course, on HLN Monday through Thursday nights at 6 o'clock. You can also hear him on Loveline 5 nights a week and weekday afternoons on KABC and Thursday mornings on the Kevin and Bean Show right here. Hey, Dr. Drew, what's going on?
Not much. I'm just in Chicago. How are things there?
Are you in a bathroom?
I'm in a bathroom. I literally had to come find a place where I could get quiet and it's in the bathroom.
If somebody comes in there, we're going to hear it all.
Well, no, I'm next to a makeup booth, and they shoved me. I said, I need a closet. And they went, oh, go in here. So I mean, I hope that tile sounds nice on the radio.
Ah, showbiz, huh?
Are you sitting or standing in the bathroom, if you take my meaning?
I'm standing. Only standing. Acceptable for number one in this position. Yeah.
Okay, I agree. All right. Well, listen, we'll try not to keep you too long, but we were interested from a medical perspective. I think we all got HIV back on our radars this week after most of us not really thinking about it for a long time when Charlie Sheen came out on the Today Show and made an announcement that he has been living as an HIV-positive man for the past 4 years. What were your thoughts, Doc, when you saw the interview first?
Well, a couple of headlines there. I mean, obviously, it's a really serious situation. But it seemed to me that Charlie seemed to be confusing HIV infectivity, meaning HIV positive, and his viral production or so-called viral load. In other words, when you get HIV, it penetrates into the genetic material of your cells, and it can be suppressed from producing any more virus with current treatment. And you suppress the virus, you suppress the progression to AIDS. You also make somebody much, much less infected. But Charlie announced that it was impossible for him to infect someone, and that, I'm afraid, is not so. That he also hinted, and you have to read between the lines in these interviews, that he was his partners with whom he had unprotected sex, two women who consented to this, were, quote, under doctor's care. Which means, in my estimation, that they were probably receiving something called pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is that they, too, were taking the same antiviral medication that Charlie was taking to further reduce the risk of transmission.
Wow, I didn't even know that was a thing. So you're telling me there's a course of medicine that you can take to make it less likely that you will be infected with HIV if you have sex
Correct.
With a person who
it's
has
called,
it. Wow.
It's called PrEP or pre-exposure prophylaxis. Now, the problem is that we've seen a rapid and sudden increase in other sexually transmitted diseases, particularly in gay populations. And it's gotten so bad, particularly with HPV in the anal area, the doctors are actually being pushed to do anal pap smears. So there's been a sudden uptick in other STDs as a result of people feeling less worried about HIV.
Gotcha. How prevalent in 2016, doctor, is HIV among folks who have only heterosexual sex? Is that a thing that is still unlikely to happen?
It's unlikely, but it's you're having sex with lots of people. It's not so unlikely. And if you have one STD, you're more likely to have multiple STDs. That's just sort of the way the stats work. And HIV, of course, is one of the more dreaded. I mean, it really is just, for me, it's an opportunity just to remind people, get the HPV vaccine. HPV-related cancers are markedly on the upswing right now. That other STDs are on the upswing, and to use a condom. And even if you're using pre-exposure prophylaxis, you don't have to worry about HIV, but you do have to worry about other things. So there's a lot of sort of, to me, public health reminders that Charlie's story has sort of brought into focus. Now, there's many other things to talk about as it pertains to Charlie, though. I mean, I talked to Bree Olson yesterday.
That was she was one of his goddesses, right?
Yeah, and she is pissed. She believes he recklessly endangered her life. And she's like really upset, actually. I mean, we've all known Bree for a long time, and she's upset, and then she's being accused of just being out there to try to draw publicity. So she's he has hurt people by being reckless with this thing. It's just a reminder, you know, you've got to really, everyone's got to be so careful and aware of their partners.
Well, I heard that there were, and I don't know how many of them have made to mainstream news organizations, but in some of the fringes of the internet, it seemed like there were a lot of ladies popping up saying, hey, I had sex with Charlie Sheen and he never mentioned it to me. And one of the questions I wanted to ask you, doctor, is what are the laws regarding informing your partner of your status?
It's actually complex. I've been dealing with this a lot on my HLN program. We've been having attorneys comment on this, and it gets complicated. It's hard to, you know, whether he had intent or knowledge and, you know, how likely was it and what state was he in. There's all kinds of issues. The biggest problem is going to be civil, that people are going to come asking for money, and most of those civil cases settle. So it really doesn't matter, you know, sort of what the laws say so much as the encumbrance of what's likely to happen here, which is people claiming he did know and put them unnecessarily at risk. My fear is that he legitimately confused HIV positive, because he sort of alluded to the fact in the interview with Matt Lauer that he doesn't have it anymore or something, or it's gone. And it's like, no. You just are in good treatment, and it's the virus is way, way suppressed. You still could occasionally produce some virus and infect somebody else with it.
Well, right. That leads into my next question, which was how much of that was him just going on TV and announcing this horrific news, and how much of it was just trying to play defense against lawsuits and everything else?
Yeah, and already he was being extorted, right? And mm-hmm. so, you know, how right, much of right. it was just because he was weighing the lesser of the situations he was in. He's still using drugs, he's still using alcohol, right? I mean, well, the other headline from the story that jumped out of me with his doctor saying, look, this HIV thing, we got that handled. He's going to be fine with that, which is true. He'll live a normal lifespan with it in all probability. But his mood disturbance and his drug and alcohol addiction, that's what maybe may kill him in the next 10 minutes. That's the deadly condition he has that is out of control, and he's still drinking. So right. that is what really is what's serious here.
All right, last question, then we'll let Dr. Drew out of the bathroom, and that is, this is perhaps unrelated to the news about HIV, but we were discussing how, look, he was nervous, and this was a big moment for him to go on TV and have this difficult conversation publicly, but his stuttering and his jitteriness, there something else going on with him, do you think? Is that a side effect of some sort of alcohol or drug abuse over the years, you think? What was your read just watching him on the TV?
I actually thought he looked pretty good from a health standpoint generally. And I think a lot of that was just his anxious. This is a terrible situation, and he didn't want to, you know, people, this is the day of social media, with one misstep with how you express yourself and you just get crushed.
Yeah, so carefully sure chosen words.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure he was choosing his words carefully. This is a horrible situation. But again, I talked to Bree about that very issue because she felt that it showed that he was deeply concerned about this, and she felt guilty, but I who knows. My hope is that he does well and that he really gets sober and he becomes an advocate for HIV and sobriety. He could be a powerful force, but right now it's unclear what his motivation is.
Loveline, five nights a week with his friend Mike Catherwood right here on K-Rock. Weekday afternoons on KABC. Dr. Drew on call on HLN Monday through Thursday nights at 6. And don't forget lots of great Dr. Drew podcasts at podcast1.com and drdrew.com. Have fun in Chicago. Have a great Thanksgiving. I guess we won't talk to you next week, Doc, but thank you so much for the time.
You bet, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Our next guest is one of our favorites. He was very funny in that show you watched for a long time. He was also very good in that show you didn't watch for very long. And then he was in that movie that you missed in the theaters but was terrific on cable. And I'm talking about the great Rainn Wilson, author Rainn Wilson, whose new book is out called The Bassoon King. Hey, Rainn.
That was the best introduction I've ever gotten.
And it's pretty accurate, though, right?
It's so accurate. It's painfully accurate.
Well, Rainn, it's great to talk to you. Congratulations on writing yet another book. This one's called The Bassoon King. And I know that a title is very important when you sit down to write a book. And I would imagine that there were people who tried to talk you out of putting a word in a title that most people don't know. Have you been going around the country explaining to people what a bassoon is?
I know there was some outrage on Twitter about it. Just like, why are you calling your book something I've never heard of? You call your book an office title, like I Was Dwight or something like that. Then you'd sell more books. I don't know. It's weird. It's attention getting. It's memorable. It's like, what's that? So many people name their books like really forgettable titles, like, hey, what do you say? How's it going, please? And stuff like that. And
wait, there's a book called How's It Going, Please?
See?
I love that title.
I love that title.
Well, a bassoon is a musical instrument that is not cool, let's be honest. And I was, by the way, I read the book, Rain. Congratulations. Very funny. Well done, sir. I was surprised to find out that you were not the most popular and most happening guy in high school, being in the debate club and the chess club and playing this god-awful instrument in the band. Why did you stick with it for 5 years? I feel like you hated the bassoon, but you played it for 5 years.
Back then in the late 70s, early 80s, because I'm an old fart, back then you didn't leave your social strata. I was a nerd. I wasn't about to leave that. It's not like, oh, I would have quit bassoon and then all of a sudden I would have been cooler. It's like I was already relegated to total nerddom.
Right. Do you look at your childhood and think, wow, if I was born today, I would be so much more cool?
Oh, my God, yes. The girls, think about it. Girls love nerds nowadays.
That's true. They know that you were just ahead of your time.
Are loyal and fun and quirky and are someday going to make millions of dollars. So,
yeah, there was no money in being it, there was no money in being into the Avengers when you were coming up.
No, but that's what I think happened, is that people learn to capitalize on the nerds. Like the movie studios and the technology companies were all of a sudden, they're like, hey, wait a minute, we can make money off of those pimply geeks we used to beat up in high school.
Right.
So as soon as they figure out you can make money off of them, then boom.
I know that you are all about the big questions, and you are a very, very thoughtful guy and a very smart guy, and that's part of why you have this Soul Pancake that has started so many conversations about the big questions. But I have a big question for you, Rain, because I was really surprised at how poor you were in some parts of your life. When you were a struggling actor just out of NYU, you were living in the worst apartment in the world, in Williamsburg, right? Listen to this, you guys. Rain had no running water in his apartment, for instance. He had a toilet downstairs that was infested with rats.
No heat.
Think about when you go through something like that, Rain, is that an experience that you're glad you had because it made you a better person and helped you in some big way? Or is that something that was just miserable and no goddamn good came out of those years?
You know, I think I really think it did help me, but not quite in that way. I think it helped me because it got me focused. Like I have a chapter called Crappy Jobs and all the terrible jobs that I had to work. And all the terrible apartments I had to live in, including that one, and being on the poverty line for a decade, trying to make it as an actor, and it kept me hungry. It just kept me going. It's like, I don't want to work these terrible jobs. I really want to be an actor. So I worked my butt off trying to move my career forward because I knew otherwise I was just screwed.
I'm grateful
for that.
Your chapter about the worst – look, all of us had a bad job in our years growing up, our formative years. You had all the bad jobs. You had like 20 of the worst jobs I've ever heard of.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I was a man with a van doing a moving company. I was a traffic counter guy. I would sit on a freeway bridge and with a little clicker and count the cars coming by in the carpool lane.
Oh, my God.
Dishwasher, dog walker, you name it.
He did it all. Rain did it all.
Yeah.
We're talking to Rain Wilson, by the way. The book is called The Bassoon King. It's out, available everywhere. You can meet Mr. Wilson tonight at the Barnes & Noble in Huntington Beach. You are going to be there starting at 7 o'clock, signing copies of the book. You also have a very compelling story, and I think you might have been in the same bad apartment in New York when you realized you needed to sober up. You were violently ill, and you write, and you only have a paragraph on this, Rain, but I want you to tell me a little bit more about seeing what you thought was the face of God, because I hear stories like that from people, and this was more than just a light bulb over your head. This was more than just a wake-up call. You felt like you literally saw the face of God.
Yeah, I smoked something that was laced with something, and I was having a really bad trip of some kind, and sweating and heart palpitation and vomiting and having kind of seizures, and my friend opted not to call 911, but read to me from J.D. Salinger. And he was reading J.D. Salinger to me, and then I saw the face of God. And I remember it so distinctly. It was like a horizon. It was more like a magnificent sunset than anything else. It was just this raw color of orange and red and yellow, and it was, but I could tell it was a face. It was the weirdest thing, even though it didn't look like a normal face. I just knew it was a face, and I was like, oh, man, that's the face of God.
Do you think it was Holden Caulfield?
Maybe it was Holden Caulfield. It could have been.
Was it scary for you, or was there, because I've heard stories of people who say that they feel comforted by that. There's a peace in feeling the presence of God. Was there any of that, or were you too strung out for that?
It was beyond, it was not, it was awe. It was just pure awe. So it was not comfort, and it was not fear. It was just like, holy beep. It was just so huge and magnificent and overpowering. And, you know, there I was really high, and I was like, okay, this is, I'm going to swear to the face of God right now that I'm not going to do this particular brand of drugs anymore. I don't know what I can say on the radio. So I'm going to stop doing this. And I stopped at that point in time because I swore to the face of God.
Now, I find it fascinating that you still think that it's the face of God. Did you not question it after you were not high anymore? Did you say, okay,
no,
that was all a trip?
I wasn't so high that it was like I wasn't tripping. You know what I mean? I wasn't on LSD seeing hallucinations. It really was like this. That was the only thing I saw. I didn't see other things. I just had this. I had this vision. Yeah, I had this. I had this vision. So I don't know. Wow. I don't know what it was, but I'm just going to go with face of God because I got nothing better. explanation.
The book is fascinating. You're going to be surprised. I mean, I think people know you're smart. They get that from you. But I had no idea how many tens of thousands of hours of live theater you've done. And how many, I mean, like really deep, difficult, hard plays. And you seem to love that, Rain.
Yeah, I love acting. I love playing characters. I'm so lucky I get to do it for a living. It's fantastic.
Tell us
about... I'm about to go do a play in Los Angeles this winter at the Geffen.
Right, tell us about that.
It's going to be the hardest play I've ever done.
A one-man play seems like it's not as much fun because you're not bouncing off of anyone else. Is that difficult?
Yeah. It's going to be super hard. It's a 70-minute monologue.
Oh, wow.
At the Geffen Playhouse. And it's going to be super, super hard. Is it going to be fun? I don't know if it's going to be fun or if it's going to be torture. I have no idea at this point.
Are you
it's a beautiful piece of writing.
Are you pulled towards stuff that's super difficult?
What's that?
Are you pulled toward that type of thing that's super difficult?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I don't want to just kind of like retire in TV land and, you know, do some occasional guest spots on sitcoms and retire. I want to keep challenging myself and try and be the best actor I can be. I know that might sound lame, but I actually I'm trying to aspire to something. And so this is a huge challenge I'm giving myself. And, you know, I'm in my late 40s. It's kind of crazy, but I'm diving in.
I'm sorry, Rain. We don't mean to laugh, but we just have no experience with somebody whose dreams haven't already been crushed. You know what I mean? I mean, that's kind of where we're coming from. The fact that you've still got hope in your life is just adorable. The play
awesome.
Is called
I've
Tom
Had Plenty
Payne.
Of Dreams Crushed. I talk about that in the book, too. And I talk about
yes,
you guys.
Do.
Remember when the rocker bombed?
Yeah.
And I heard you guys on the radio, and I was crying in my Prius.
Yeah, let me read. I have the book open right now to page 224 as we have Ray Wilson on the phone. It's the Tuesday morning after the opening of the rocker, 5:30 a.m. I'm driving to work in my Prius down the desolate 101 freeway, absolutely spent and miserable. Kevin and Bean from K-Rock are on the radio, and here's my favorite sentence of the whole book. They start yapping like puppies on helium about the weekend movies and the top 10 box office list. Wait a minute, one of them says. What about that Rainn Wilson comedy? I don't even see it on the list. Oh, no, the other DJ says. Look here, it opened all the way down at number 12. Ooh, ouch, that's got a sting. Poor Rain, the guy must be hurting now. Ooh, poor guy, it bombed.
Oh.
Wow. But you were on your way to film at The Office, so you, like you said, you had a great day job to fall back on, so it wasn't the end of the world, and you get the last laugh because The Rocker is one of those movies that has kind of grown in stature since the time it was out, right, Rain?
People come all the time to me, and they're like, I love The Rocker, and they record it and watch it, and people are like, I've seen The Rocker 8 times, and it really is like a quirky little classic comedy.
Yeah,
just got
proud.
I think when it came out, it just got so unfairly compared to School of Rock. You know, it's like we weren't trying to be School of Rock, and everyone was like, oh, it's trying to be School of Rock, and it's not as good. And, you know, nothing's as good as School of Rock. That's, yeah. You know, that's it's a good, brilliant movie, it's a, but.
Yep. So well, we got, it's a terrific read, and especially if you know, obviously if you love The Office, you'll love the chapters about all the incredible cast and how that show was put together and so many great stories, and I can't recommend it enough. It's called The Bassoon King. It's out, available wherever books are sold. And don't forget, you can meet Rain tonight. He's going to be at 7 o'clock at the Barnes & Noble in Huntington Beach. Rain, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you, sir. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
I love you guys. I love you. I love you.
Thank you, Rain.
There, I said it.
Okay, bye.
And now, a moment with Bean.
I would think that some of those, what's that that show that we like? You know, the one with the guy who... Allie.
That was A Moment with Bean.
Man, oh, man.
That could have gone on so much longer.
I think it was plenty long enough.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. B used to get mad at people because they would help me out of that bind. Mm-hmm. And he would say, damn it, let him, you got to let that go. So now, every once in a while, when Bean loses it, it's pretty sweet. I got
to
be
yep, honest. There's no one there to help me.
And Allie feels terrible.
I'm just sensitive. I want to help.
You were helping by being quiet and letting him just go crazy like that. That was
I
pretty
am very concerned that I thought of it in the first place, thought of American Ninja Warrior. Obviously, that's why I was making the comment, but then couldn't pull the name of the show.
Yeah.
That worries me.
Shouldn't happen.
Like, that's bad in this job, to not be able to come up with the name of a popular TV show that you're trying to talk about, right?
It happens.
It happens a lot to some of us.
Well, if it's catching, man, I'm going to sue you. If
can
you
we
came
play
to
it
work
again?
and you gave me the Alzheimer's, I don't know that we need to hear it again.
And now, A Moment with Bean.
I would think that some of those, what's that that show that we like? You know, the one with the guy who. Allie.
That was A Moment with Bean.
I just think you're terrific.
And why did I think the one with the guy
that
was going to help anybody?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because I'm not giving you very much to go on. I didn't say, you know, that athletic competition where they run and they jump and they climb things. I wasn't giving you guys anything to help me with, even if you wanted
you
to.
You said, what's the show with the guy, though? You said that.
Yeah. Right,
exactly. Good times. All right, final look at the Showbiz Beat now. In for Ralph Garman, who we think will be back tomorrow. Here's Ellie McKay.
Well, the December issue of GQ magazine will have the Men of the Year in it. That will be on newsstands November 24th. One of the men in the magazine, Tom Brady. You might know him from the New England Patriots. The article, along with the cover shot, is headlined, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, period.
Wrong.
Again, that's out on newsstands November 20th. I pick the balls. Our equipment guys do a great job of breaking the balls. To me, they're perfect. I don't want anyone touching the balls after that. I don't want anyone rubbing them. To me, those balls are perfect.
That's the guy? That's
yep.
The guy you're all hot for?
Mm-hmm. Well, I enjoy him as a quarterback.
Tom, terrific.
Tommy.
I think anybody who's being honest has to put him in the easily top three, if
absolutely.
Not first.
Yeah. Who would you say? You've got...
I don't know. I mean, he's tough.
Joe Montana.
Yeah. Tim Tebow.
Come on.
Terry Bradshaw.
I mean... Roger Staubach.
That's some tough
John
competition.
John Unitas.
Yeah.
Brett Favre, even, could be in the top 10, at least.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that don't like Tom Brady, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, his life is going to be just fine.
Wrong.
All right, we had Chris Martin in last week, and he told us how Beyonce and Noel Gallagher will be part of his album, A Head Full of Dreams. Coldplay's album comes out on December the 4th. They're going to be featured on some of the tracks, but we now know that his ex-wife, Gwyneth Paltrow, their kids, plus Blue Ivy Carter, are also on the album as well.
How old is Blue Ivy? Is she like five?
If, right?
I don't know. Maybe not even.
Doesn't need to be singing on anyone's album, right?
What's it hurt you?
Well,
who
I'm
cares?
Saying, how? Tell me what album has ever been made better by a five-year-old singing on it.
Hmm. I'm being told by Christine she's three. She's okay.
She's three years old. Oh, wow.
Is that a wise artistic choice, or is that, hey, I just want to hang out with my friends and party?
Is what? He partying with
your
Blue
question,
Ivy Carter?
Exactly.
Well, I'm just saying. What do you think is the thought behind that choice? Having Blue Ivy sing on your record?
I don't know, but I don't think it's a stunt.
Yeah, I think they make up a choir.
It's not a gimmick.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I don't think she has a solo. I don't think she's like spitting rhymes.
That'd be awesome.
Which would be incredible.
That would be great.
It would be awesome. Yeah.
I think they're just part of a choir. So.
I'm just saying, what song is made better by a three-year-old? That's all I'm saying.
Right, and we're saying, let's find out.
Right, December 4th.
December 4th.
But Paltrow, this is where it gets a little odd to me. Paltrow appears on the song Everglow. It's described as a ballad about a relationship's enduring spark. Okay, you're friends with your ex-wife, she's going to sing on it, she can sing. Got it. Other songs feature their two children and additional friends and family members singing, like I said, that choir style. While Martin's current girlfriend, actress Annabelle Wallace, sings on another song. What?
Wow.
Is happening?
How is he able to make that happen?
Right? It seems
he's
like
he's controlling the entire world, isn't he?
Yep.
It might be. I'm in.
By the way, speaking of Coldplay, whom we love, their show at the Belasco, if you haven't heard, has been rescheduled for 8:30 Saturday night. Same listeners that won the tickets through K-Rock, those tickets will be honored that night. And for the rest of us, we can watch it. It's going to be streaming live Saturday night at 8:30 through Tidal.com. And I'm looking forward to it. Should be a good show.
Absolutely. We've talked before about the website Omaze, how you can donate money and then picked for huge prizes that involve everything from Schwarzenegger. You get to go and blow stuff up with him. All sorts of amazing once-in-a-lifetime experiences. Well, a year and a half ago, they launched something called Star Wars Force for Change, and they raised over $4 million for UNICEF. Unbelievable. Well, they are back. They now want two more winners. It's a whole new campaign. If you go to omaze.com/StarWars, donate just $10 or more, you could possibly win this, the grand prize. Two winners will get tickets for themselves and three guests each. That's four people to the red carpet premiere of Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Star Wars.
I think it's Star Wars.
Yeah, in either London or L.A. You're going to be flown out. You're going to have four-star hotel accommodations. But you're going to walk the red carpet and meet the cast of Star Wars. The Force Awakens. I mean, if you give $10 to a charity, you could have an experience that no one else is going to get. Except for the other winner and their three friends. But that's phenomenal.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, the campaign ends on December the 4th. So get on over to omaze.com/StarWars. And if you win, I would love to go with you.
Taint Wars.
Nope. Again, Star Wars. Don't know if I love that.
Very excited.
Love that after
very excited.
Taint Wars.
Nope.
All of these stars were born today. What is wrong with you?
I don't know. A lot.
Larry King's 82. Allison Janney is 56. Meg Ryan, 54. Oh, dear. Jodie Foster, 53.
Oh.
Adam Driver is 32. Bing, bing, bing.
Blip, blip.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Wait a minute.
I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the show's beat.
Thank you, Allie. Wow, that noise hurts. Don't forget Miss Double December. There's still time for you to enter. If you want to go to krock.com, kevinandbean.com, you got to be 21 or over. You complete your submission. You send in a couple of photos of yourself. The deadline is tomorrow? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
24 hours and 4 minutes from right now.
Tomorrow at 10 a.m. is the deadline, so make sure that you get that in if you're interested or you have friends.
We want you to be Miss Double D. We want you to be part of the Kevin Mean family for 2016. We want you to go to next month's Acoustic Christmas, both nights, next summer's Weenie Roast, next spring's April Foolishness, Kevin Mean singles parties, breakfast with, whatever we got going on. You are part of the family. Please represent the Kevin Mean Show. Be the face of the program. Enter at krock.com. We're looking for Miss Double December 2016.
Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to do Ask an Astronaut. And we're gonna
I'm so excited about this.
We're going to try our best to let some listeners in, Bean. We're
going
to let listeners ask questions.
So few men, even now in the age of the space station, relative to the population, so few people have ever been able to go into space.
Right,
What's that like?
Right, but we're not doing that feature right now. That's tomorrow.
Okay, tomorrow, though.
And we're going to let listeners ask questions.
Yes, we will.
Okay. We have Seth Rogen on the program tomorrow. Talking about the night before. Love him. We have R.J. Bell talking about the NFL picks. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. And we have the new UFC bantamweight champion of the world, Holly Holm, joining us tomorrow morning as well. Just beat Ronda Rousey last Saturday night. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.